Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight, Thursday night. Really good place to be, in the prophetic place. Yeah, really awesome. So we're here tonight, and we're going to be praying over you, your offering, and, you know, whatever the Lord speaks for us to do, whatever we end up doing, will be always a lot of fun. And so we're going to open the door for God to come into our heart, come into our life, you know, in a way that maybe he wasn't there yesterday, you know. Daily bread, that ought to do something. All right, so we'll start getting daily bread. Then new things start happening. We get fed every day, and when the enemy tries to hit us, we're strong, we're strengthened. And he doesn't get his way. Isn't that cool? I love that. Yeah, really, really awesome. Okay, so what's kind of happening here? We are opening up for a new studio and working on that. So as that comes along, we will be letting you know what's up with all of it. And seems like things just kind of start happening, and then they just happen. You know, it's not finished yet. Keep praying, that's for sure. And believe God for the finished work of Calvary. And there you go. All right, we're going to start walking in the finished work instead of we're starting to work, right? You may be starting something, but hopefully the thing that we're starting has already been started in heaven. And what we start in heaven will be finished with the Lord's help, right? It's not finished automatically. We have to, that's the thing, we labor together with the Lord. And it's truly a work. It truly is a work. And so when you learn that it is a work, then you work together with him, right? Yeah, and it becomes pretty cool. God opens that up and starts doing some things that open your mind. Our minds need to be opened up more and more all the time. You know, I'm really finding out some things about the brain. I don't know if I'll be able to get into that tonight or not. I would like to, if God allows me. Kind of elementary, the beginning of it, but it's at the same time, it's really, really cool. You know, we have to start out with a foundation and understand, you know, how the brain is made, how God made it, not how man thinks it's made, but how, you know, God made it. And so that's what we're working on. That's what we're going to believe God for, is to help us understand how God made the brain so that we can help develop it. If you're not developing your brain is, as it's trained and it's, some people say renewed. I think restored is a good word also, being restored from the damage of sin, from the damage of, you know, hurt and pain and, you know, unfair thing, all that kind of thing, unforgiveness, hatred, the things that have really messed with us. And our brain is really a powerful place, man, because in your brain, your soul, you know, your soul, your spirit is doesn't need to be renewed. It's totally brand new, It's like Jesus. Jesus grew in favor with God and man. Our spirit man does grow, of course, in favor with God. But the really big thing is that we know that the spirit man, it does not need to be renewed. The Bible says nothing about your spirit man being renewed. It's all about your soul, the mind. And in Romans, it talks about that, of course. You know, most people are very familiar with renewal of the mind. And so, you know, so the brain has been made a certain way. I mean, it looks like I'm going to talk about the brain just for a little bit here. So, because I, as you guys, some of you know, when we gave information, you know, a couple of years ago, man, back in the old studio, for sure, and that's been a couple of years, maybe 2.5, 3 years, something like that, God began to open me up to the unlimited brain, the limitless brain. And so, you know, I just kind of like going, and the scripture that he gave me was in Matthew, where it talks about, let me just go there for a second. The sower that sowed the seed. And let's go there just for a second. We're trying to hit on it, see what happens. Yeah, let's just go ahead and read. Let me get that right. Matthew 13, get ready to go with me. I'm going to try to go there and see where this thing goes. How much God reveals. Matthew 13, sower sows the seed. Most of you know about that. All right, so we have the parable about the sower. And it says, on the same day Jesus went out of a house, set by the seaside, great multitudes were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat, personal safety, and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed that fell by the wayside. We all know about the wayside, things all by the wayside. Our lives. The birds came and devoured them. You can tell us what that is later. Some fell on stony ground where it didn't have much earth, and they immediately sprang up. You know, some of those things that you immediately get. But it had no depth of earth, so when the sun came up, when life, everyday life, the sun represents not the devil or even God necessarily, but just everyday life, struggles in the battle. The heat of the day, and you know, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And other fell on good ground, and yielded a crop: some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He who has an ear, let him hear. And so, when you understand what he's talking about here, I talked about this a few years ago. That you'll see what I'm saying by 100% of your brain. Here's the parable explained. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, he does not, and does not, now watch this. The first thing he comes up, you hear the word of the kingdom, where the seed is planted, and it says, and he does not understand it. This is the whole, this is everything about everything. It's about what you understand. And does not understand it. Then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. In other words, you can have the word of God sown in your heart, and the enemy can come and snatch it away from you. Right? I think we kind of know that. He snatches away things. And so we're talking about the brain tonight. We're talking about where I got the information about 100-fold brain. It's not just some thing I read on the internet. I got it from the Word of God. It's really cool. Okay, so it says that, and does not understand it. Then the wicked one, because they don't understand, the wicked one comes and snatches it away and takes it. This is he who receives seed by the wayside, but he who receives seed in stony places, so he hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself. He endures for a while, but after tribulation and persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Getting caught up in the things of the world and listening to, you know, and absorbing and believing worldly information more than we do God's word. It chokes it out, makes it unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold. 100-fold what? Understanding. 100-fold understanding. Some 60, some 30. In other words, some people are going to 100% of their brain, in other words, functioning, because of the word of God. Right? But it's not just the word that makes you think right. Right, it's not just the word that makes you think right. It's having the soil of your heart, the soil of your brain. When things are planted inside you, when you get revelation from God, are you meditating on it? Are you taking it in deep? Or are you just kind of like, man, that was an awesome word, and you, or you get a prophetic word, and like Paul the Apostle told Timothy, you know, his favorite disciple, he said, you know, go and get those prophecies that you got and meditate on them. Look at them. Look at them over and over again. Why? So you can win the fight by fighting a good fight. No, it's not just, you know, getting the word of God in us is, and we just kind of like, oh, yeah, cool, man, I like that. Hey, awesome. Oh, yeah, confirmation. And then we just kind of like, you know, but like Paul explained, and like God told Joshua to meditate on the law, meditate on the word, meditate on prophecies, which is very, of course we meditate on the word of God, of course we do that, but prophecies is a whole different realm that most people have totally despised and misunderstood, as we all know, and I think we all struggle with it, thinking, well, you know, it's just a man telling somebody, no, it's, if it's a prophetic word, it's the Holy Spirit speaking through that person, and it's there, it's being planted in you to produce some understanding. That's why the word is put in you. So you can get the word and still never get the understanding. People get all kinds of words, good word. Some of these ministers, these preachers are, you know, on fire for God and all that. But, you know, of course, we love the non-merchandise kind. They're my favorite, which there, I don't think there are any, but that I know of. But, you know, so, but If you get a good teaching or get a good prophetic word, and you just kind of like let it pass on by, and don't meditate on it and say, okay, God, you know, this is what's okay, this is what you're trying to. Why is He giving you that information, that prophetic word or that teaching or whatever it is from the Word of God? You're getting it. Right now, we're going to talk about two different levels of the Word of God. It's the written word that we get our rhema from, our inspired word. And it is also the prophetic word, which Paul the Apostle said, get your prophecies, not a prophecy, but your prophecies, and meditate on it. Okay, so fine, to fight a good fight, so that you can get some understanding, not just head knowledge, not just, oh, I've got it memorized, but are you meditating on it where it becomes part of you? It gets engrafted inside you. It becomes part of your being, part of who you are. So that when you fight a fight, when you fight a battle, when you're in a battle for your purpose, and it seems like nothing's going on, you know, what do you do? What's going to keep you safe? What is understanding? When you understand, and some people are going to have 30-fold understanding, it says right here. This isn't about money, y'all. Although the right understanding produces wealth, you know, the wealth of money, the wealth of love, the wealth of the gifts of the Spirit, the wealth of information, the wealth of words from God, the wealth of fellowship, all that. Because it's all about understanding. When you understand that he's talking about understanding here, 30, 60, and 100 fold, it's all about understanding. But he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Understanding how much understanding? Well, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold understanding. So you can have 100-fold understanding. In other words, God's word is coming to save your soul or save your mind. Your mind, will, emotions, your memories, what you remember, what comes up within you when you see somebody who looks like the person that wounded you and hurt you when you were a kid or last week, and you see somebody look just like them, the feelings that come up, all that stuff, that's all the tears, that's all the things of the world that come from your mind. Right? They come from your mind. And when your mind back with understanding of the Word of God, you know, and understanding it, not just I got it and I got it memorized and I remember it. No, are you doing like Paul told Timothy? Are you doing like God told Joshua? To be successful, he wasn't just talking about having money success, right? That's all part of it. The wealth, the money thing is all part of it. But you can have a lot of money and not have your mind together, and you just keep losing it. It'll just keep falling through your fingers. So, you know, we're talking about true wealth. All right. When you go through a battle, you need to understand what God says about you. When the enemy's telling you how worthless you are and how, well, what makes you think God will give you something big to do? You've been a failure. You did this. You stole. You cheated. You lied. You robbed. You committed, you know, all kinds of sins. You know, what are you? You're just a failure. So if the devil's telling you that, if condemnation is telling you that, or if your own mind from things that people told you when you were younger and planted those seeds in you, thinking they were trying to help you by telling you you're worthless, thinking it'll provoke you. Well, some people, it does provoke them, and they do become better. But some people believe it because it's their mommy and daddy telling them. Right? Those are seeds. Your parents plant seeds in you deeper than anybody. And then plus, you have your DNA that you were born with. So your parents' words confirm your DNA, if you will. Right. Not with just the words they say, but with the actions, the way they treat you. And, you know, so we're just talking about parents because parents are big in our life. Not because parents are our only problem. They're not. But the parents are, you know, a big part of our life. They're in our they're raising us in the most sensitive, vulnerable times of our life. We love them. We did. And if they treat us bad and we're a kid and we don't know that that's bad, but it's painful and we don't understand it. And then later we get older and we realize that was abuse. That was being mean. That wasn't, you know, so, but when you're a child, you don't understand that. You think it's normal. And it's sad when we think things that are bad are normal. They call evil good and good evil. A lot of that comes from our childhoods when we think the abuse going around and dad being drunk every day, it's just the way everybody is. Nobody's telling us, but their daddy's the same way when the problem may or may not be. Because we just think, if my daddy's like that, and we worship our fathers and mothers, basically, God wants us to honor them. So as a child, we look to them to tell us who we are. And so when you grow up, and you're not only fighting that, remember Timothy, you told Timothy, the fight's a good fight. What fight are you talking about? Well, the devil's trying to do all kinds of things. Your past. Condemnation, you got all these things working against you. So to fight a good fight, to win the war, to win the battle, how are you going to do it? The only way you're going to do it, friend, is through understanding. Like when I got the understanding about condemnation, that was a big thing for me. When I started taking communion every day and then stopped doing it, and God said, what are you doing? I thought you were taking it every day. I said, well, why? And he started showing me how big condemnation was, not only just in my life, but in everybody's life. I mixed it up with the Holy Spirit. I thought it was so, but understanding. So when God started helping me understand that, so Randy, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was condemnation speaking to you. I went, what, that? No, that's the Holy Ghost. No, it's not the Holy Ghost. You know, and so he started helping me understand what was the cares of the world and stony places and stones and rocks and things that were hindering me from growing. So I started understanding. That's just one of the understandings I've got. That really changed my life big time, because when you're going to walk in the supernatural realm, friend, that understanding, if you don't get that, you're going to be a failure. You're going to be struggling and battling your whole time. You're walking the supernatural. It's going to be a big battle. It's going to be like the wind blowing against you every day. But when condemnation, when you understand that what condemnation is, the storm ceases. It just stops, and you just walk without sweat. So how did I begin to change? How did I get rid of that energy that was robbing me of my other energy? Where these days, you know, you hear Robert Morrison, who is a wonderful man of God, here in Dallas, Texas, one of the, you know, well-known pastors of the world. If you guys maybe don't keep up with him, I don't keep up with him much either, but he's a merchandiser, so that's part I don't like about him, but he's got some good stuff. And he said he was, a few years ago, rolled up in a ball, like in a fetal position, under the table or something. I don't remember exactly where he was, but it was bad. And so they talked about it because he worked too hard. Well, you know, Jesus worked hard, and he didn't have a breakdown. Why? What? Of course, we know one's the Son of God and the other one's not, but why? What does that to a preacher or to somebody trying to walk in the supernatural realm and gets them in a fetal position where they're totally just incapable of functioning? It's not working hard. It's sweating with condemnation. In the Garden of Eden, there was no condemnation because there was no sin. Right? There was no condemnation. So therefore, they lived in the no-sweat realm. After the curse came, he told them, he said, curse it, you know, you're cursed now, and the land is cursed, and you're gonna work by the sweat of your brow. In other words, every kind of work you try to do, whatever kind of, whether your marriage, having children, working the farm, whatever you're doing, you're going to sweat. The wind's going to be blowing against you all the time. Some days worse than others. And you ever felt like that? Like the wind's blowing against you every day? And like you're fighting the battle? You don't really feel a natural wind, but you feel this something pushing against you? A lot of times, friend, it's condemnation. So when I saw that, I'm kind of getting hung up on condemnation now, because it's one of the greatest things God showed me that stopped the storm from blowing against me all the time. The winds, because I'm trying to go somewhere and I'm having to work really hard to get there, and I'm going to bless God, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to be, and I thought that was like God testing me, you know. No, it was condemnation. So how do I get that? Through understanding. Understanding by doing what God says. Getting a word from God is Him nudging your heart, speaking to you, telling you to do things, like when He told me to do communion, you know, what was that? That was a word. He planted a word in my heart. He said, take communion every day. I'm going like, why? What's communion? What's so big about communion? I mean, I know it's holy and all that, but I mean, what else? I mean, that's where I was at on it. And when I quit doing it, you know, I just had no reason to. Just communion is communion. I don't understand communion. I'm not a Catholic. They taught about communion pretty big. You know, very few people are taught about communion. But I didn't understand it. God says, do it. Started doing it. I said, why? And this is when he started speaking to me words. He started giving me words. To he who hears the word, the information God's speaking to you. And so I began to do what he said and meditated on it. And the more you persist and hang with it, the deeper, you know, if you will, if it goes into the ground where it can't be destroyed. The enemy can't pluck it away. The seed needs to be buried. It needs to be in a secret place. And so I began to do that. And pretty soon, you know, I mean, I told just some stories last night. I think it was last night or not before last, about how that in meetings I would be in a prayer room before I'm going out, and I'm just, you know, so much pressure on me. People in there waiting for me to come in and minister to them, and you know, and they just thought it was easy, you know, but it wasn't. It was very difficult, and a lot of pressure on calling people out, people you don't even know who they are. You know, giving them information that nobody knows with them, maybe, or whatever the information realm is. You know, it goes to different levels. And you got to do that, like, all night long? Come on. How did I get myself into this? And that's literally what I'm thinking. I was so down. I was so out. I thought, I've been doing it for years. But I go, how in the world did I get myself into doing this? And so, yeah, the Holy Spirit was partially making me vulnerable to Him and weak. Became a really good service. one of the best services I've ever had. But at the same time, condemnation, I mean, if I thought, if it's going to be like this every time, I can't do this for very long. It's just making me old quick. And is that stuff supposed to make you old quick? Remember, like Robert Morrison, I told you, a really fine man of God in a fetal position, you know, had to get some help after years of ministry. Yeah, what is that? That's not just working hard and working too hard. No, that's condemnation, which robs you, which destroys you, which keeps you from being able to bear fruit. You may have a lot of good teachings, but are you walking in your teaching? When you talk about condemnation, are you just talking about it, or are you walking in it? You know, if you're not, the very thing you teach that you say you know, if you don't really have understanding of it, it's going to take you down. It will rob you. It will take you out. And so the mind, I mean, I'm kind of barely touching on, I'm trying to explain to you a little bit tonight how I got from God about the hundredfold, 100% of our mind, not just 10%. They say we use about 10%. I don't think I ever used 10%. I don't know how much I used, but wasn't much. But now, you know, I can flow in information for hours upon hours upon hours without sweating. Used to, I would sweat. I'd minister for 3 or 4 hours. And, man, I'm like, when I get through, I'm like going, oh, God. Oh, my God. You know, nobody knew it, but I'm going. And, you know, people would be trying to talk to me after the service, you know, or in the car driving home. Like, please don't talk to me right now. I mean, I'm like. They said, what? You look so strong. And I said, yeah, you don't understand. It's like, wow, man. I mean, that just completely wore me out. What was wearing me out? Is flowing of the Spirit wear you out? Well, it does to a certain degree, but it's the condemnation that hits you. It's me after a service. Well, you should have said this, shouldn't have said that. You should have said that better. You didn't explain that good enough. You know, y'all see me on the show a little bit where I thought I blame myself for not explaining that properly. And that's, I'm being very honest. I don't blame that person. I blame myself. That's you know, being convicted of the Holy Spirit is one thing. Being condemned, it's the way he talks to you. Condemnation will talk to you, maybe use the same words, but it comes to make you feel bad about yourself instead of like, you can do this, Randy, but, you know, we can change this and change that, and you're doing a really good job. Condemnation goes, yeah, you're doing a really good job, but, man, you're really messing a lot of stuff up. And you know what? I don't know. You know, why did you say this, and why did you say that? What was that all about? How can you give people words like that, information like that? You know, then I would find out that the words were right on. They weren't bad words. They weren't, you know, even conviction words. They were just good words, but they were just unusual. And I'd find out later, oh, my God, that was right on. I'm like, woo! That condemnation was wearing, and sometimes would wear me out for days. Couldn't get rid of it. And then what saved me, received the engrafted word for the saving of your soul. My mind needed to be saved from that condemnation, because it didn't want me to flow in the supernatural realm. And most of you out there, you think, you know, I'm so sorry that you had that problem, Randy. I don't have that problem. Yeah, well, that just shows me you got that problem. Okay, I'm just going to be real honest with you, because I knew I didn't have that problem. It took the Holy Spirit to open my eyes and go, that's not the Holy Spirit convicting you. That's condemnation. I went, what, that? I've been doing this. I've been around a while. So, and, you know, I've had visitations. I've had all kinds of different kind of things, you know, going, and it's like, you'd think I'd have known that. But the more I walked in the supernatural, the more the condemnation was trying to get me before I got away from it. Tried to keep me from successfully breaking through. And thank you, Jesus, and for your understanding your word and doing what your word says, I'm producing fruit. So now when I prophesy, I can come on a show and go 2 or 3 or 4 hours and just rattle off information like crazy from the Lord, and I get it through. And, you know, it's not that I'm wanting to run around the block or anything, but, you know, it's like, you know, I don't have that condemnation hitting me. That's what sucks the life out of you, friend. You wonder why you're getting tired, you got anxiety, and why you're
wanting to get rolled up in a ball like in a fetal position and cry out for your mommy. That's not funny, but it sounds funny. You know what, doing that? That's not the Holy Ghost. That's not just you working hard. No, that's condemnation. Now, you need to quit working so hard. Yeah, and not you need to learn to take a break and rest. You know, tell you this, man, this may blow your mind, I don't know. You know what keeps you from resting? You know what keeps you from resting? Entering into the you can be taking a Sabbath. You can take every Saturday or Sunday or Monday or whenever you take your Sabbath. You can take it and do nothing. And you know what? Your mind will be being hit by condemnation in one form or the other. And it's so subtle that you're taking a Sabbath and you're not doing anything exteriorly. If the law people said, man, you really take the Sabbath well, you don't do nothing. You're going, yeah, man, it's awesome. But in your brain, if they could look into your brain, in your soul, and see that condemnation just sucking the life out of you, where you never rest. I mean, your mind races, and you think it's just God. Give me a that's just God, man. I'm getting so much stuff. I'm getting God. Well, when God gives you stuff, it does come fast. I do agree. But that condemnation keeps you from ever resting. You do not rest when you're asleep at night. You don't rest. You understand how important this is? I mean, I didn't even mean to go here tonight. Honestly, I was not going to talk about this. I'm trying to talk about how God showed me that you can use 100% of your brain or have 100-fold understanding, which means your full brain has to be working fully to understand it, because it's not just some spiritual thing. Your spirit man is not the one trying to understand it. He already understands. It's your mind that needs to understand it, to walk in it. It's your soul. It's your mind. When your mind gets it, when your mind understands it, then you walk in it. Your spirit man already has it. He doesn't have anything to do with it. He's already got all that. But it's your soul, the part of you that lives in the earth and does put things into action. That's the part of you that has to understand it. Because if you don't put it into action, like I almost didn't with communion, I mean, not that communion saved me, but because God told me to do it, and then I began to understand what it was about, my understanding about what it was. So every time I took it, I understand what is going on. He's telling me every day, Randy, your sins are paid for. I did the work. You don't have to do the work. Just follow me. You don't have to sweat. I sweated great drops of blood for you. I sweat blood for you. You don't have to sweat anymore with condemnation. It's robbing you from resting. You're taking a break, and your mind's just like, condemnation. And you don't even know it's condemnation. You just think like, okay, I wish I could rest my mind, but I can't do this. You know, and it's like, why didn't you do this? Why don't you do that? How come you haven't done that yet? How come you haven't done this? How come you haven't done this? How come you haven't done this? Every time I get in prayer, some of y'all, I used to tell people this. I said, if you ever want to remember things you need to remember, if you ever want to remember things that you want to remember, just start praying. Get in prayer, and then your mind will go, oh, man, you forgot to do this, and you forgot to do that. So I started telling people, I said, in prayer, just have your little list, little pencil, little piece of paper, and when your mind starts saying, you forgot to do it because it's trying to interfere with your prayer time, right? Just write it down. Just write it down and keep on praying it. Oh, yeah, I did forget to do that. Write that down. Do that. Write that down. Do that. Right. And then by the time you get it, what's you going to do now? You're going to shut up. That's what he's going to do, because you're using it. Oh, you forgot to do this, forgot to do that. Yeah, just start writing it all down, and then just keep on praying. I'm not telling you. Now, if you're not going to fall in the supernatural realm, condemnation still gets on you. That's why even God uses condemnation. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn it. Remember that scripture? You shall condemn it. So condemnation is powerful. So what does the devil do? He uses it against you too, to immobilize you, to get you off where you're always, you know, thinking about something that you should have done, would have done, could have done. Maybe you could have done it different. Maybe you shouldn't have ever gotten married. Maybe you shouldn't have ever gotten that job. Maybe you shouldn't have ever had children. Maybe you shouldn't have ever had, maybe you're worthless. Maybe you can't do, maybe you should just give up. Maybe, I mean, it's just like, you know, condemnation. It's huge, bigger than you think. If you don't know about it, that means you're still blinded to it. I'm going to be real blunt with you. If you don't know about it, it's because you are blinded to it. Okay, somebody says, this is speaking to me, ouch. Condemnation is heavy. Yes, I relate. It is. It's very heavy. And it keeps you from resting. It keeps you thinking about all these different things. You got the devil and your mind has a list of things that's why dealing with forgiving and forgiving yourself and all that, that's what does away with that list of you should have, you could have, you would have, you better have, you know, if you hadn't done that, if you hadn't done this, you know, if you wouldn't have ever done that, you wouldn't be here. If you haven't done it, well, is that partially true information? Yeah, but that's not the way the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Oh, if you'd have never done that, you'd have never been here, Joseph. You stupid man. You'd have never, if you know, you told your brothers they're going to bow down to you like they're going to like it, you know, like that. What? How stupid was that? You know, you think God talked to him like that? No. You think the Holy Spirit helped him understand that wasn't, you know, that was part of what got him where he was, but God was working it out for his good? So he tells you, yeah, that is what got you where you are. Yeah, and the devil didn't mean it for evil. But I'm using it for good, Joseph, and that's how God speaks. But the devil goes, man, you know, when you told them they're going to bow, but that's like that was the final straw. Why didn't you wait until after dinner or something? When they didn't have any, they had food in their belly, they didn't have any energy. They wanted to go to sleep. Tell them then. No, you had to tell them when they were in a work mode. So what they work? They worked at, you know, trying to kill you. Boy, you are stupid, man. You think you're going to win that? Look at that. You're in this bondage. You're over here in Egypt, away from your family, away from where God's dreams for you are going to come to pass. And I guarantee you, condemnation told him over and over again how his dream was never going to come to pass because he was not at home with his mom and dad and because of what he did. And yet it was just the opposite of what was going on. The Holy Ghost wasn't saying that. He wasn't saying you should have, you could have. He was saying, okay, going to be fine. Let's grow. Let's learn. Learn how to use wisdom when you talk. And it's fine. You know, I work all things out together for good. You know, that's how God helps you get on the other side of it. He doesn't push you down with that heaviness. And people get in suicide modes most of the time because of condemnation. Most people get into depression. I'm telling you, depression is the spirit of condemnation until he just wears you out. That's where I was headed. If I'd have kept going the way I was, keep ministering, keep stepping out, you know, and I'd leave meetings and, you know, like I use this one thing. I ministered to this pastor's son and said some things to him. They weren't negative things or bad things. They were just things that were different he'd never heard before, but from prophets, but it just happened to be right on with what he was going through. And nobody knew it. I condemned myself for that for, I don't know, a couple of weeks. I mean, every day, hour after hour. Oh, man, you know, you really blew that, man. The pastor was one of my friends, you know. And, oh, yeah, well, you know what you did there, you know. Yeah, they're going to know you're a false prophet now. They're going to know you're a false prophet now. Yeah, see how he approached me like I'm already a false prophet. Now they're going to know it. Oh, my God, that was hilarious. They're gonna know you're a false prophet now. I'm sorry, that just hit me. That was funny. Yeah, they're gonna know now. It's like you've been hiding it pretty good. Now they're gonna know now for sure. If you mess that up, I'm going like, oh my God. You know, I have to understand that was a really big thing for me. I mean, it was huge. Huge. And when I started breaking free of it, you know, it's just like it was just gone. I mean, I wasn't trying to make it go away. I wasn't doing warfare over it. The warfare I was doing was taking communion every day and realize Jesus died for my sins and paid for everything, and he did the work, and I just enter into his rest. I enter into my forgiveness. I enter into his love, you know, and then I prophesy better. Then I know things better. Then things flow easier. and I don't have that condemnation going on. So I'm not getting wore out. I'm not. I should have already been in a fetal position a few times if I'd have kept going like that. Every meeting, you know, one way or the other. Yeah. You know, you do that for 10 years, 20 years, you're going to be in a fetal position, friend. Some business people, it's not just ministries, business people, people trying to live their life, raise their children. The mothers and fathers live in condemnation more about their children than they do anything. Well, you know what? Your child, they're messed up all because of you, because you're stupid, you're rebellious, you're a no good. You know, you're a horrible mother. You said all the wrong things at the wrong time. Yeah, you did a little here and there. Did pretty good. And for the most part, you ruined their lives. You ruined. And then your kids, if they're the kind that go through that, they'll come and confirm it for you. Yeah, Mom, you know, yeah, Dad, if you had, okay, you know, all that stuff you said and did just ruined my life. And you're going like, yeah, I know it. Ruined their life. I blame my mother and father for stuff because I thought I found the truth. I thought that was the truth. That's what understanding does. It brings you understanding of why that stuff goes on. Not necessarily the truth about something. We think we found the truth. Well, the truth was they did mess up. You know, hey, everybody messes up, right? So we know they messed up. I mean, you don't even have to ask. Did they mess up? Everybody knows everybody messes up. So, yeah, of course they messed up. So I had the truth. They messed up, and I messed up because of them. It's just crazy, man. And then you raise kids, and you like going, dear God, man, if I'd have done half as good as my parents did, you know, dear God. And then your kids come along and say, man, you know, because of you, I'm poor, and you know, I'm feeling down, and I'm feeling like I'm going to kill myself, and I feel like I got all these, and it's all your fault. They just confirm. What condemnation is already done. That's what the devil do. He'll bring people along to confirm the condemnation, and then it gets double sinker. Then people kill themselves. Well, that's the condemnation is the biggest suicide thing, biggest, you know, wear you out, never let you rest thing that you'll ever know about. You got to understand that, friend. What's saying? Oh, I don't have that. I didn't think I had it either. You ever get, you know, have bad days? I want you to remember what your thought processes are on your bad day. And then come and tell me you ain't got no condemnation going on. I'll just tell you, you're full of it. And I ain't going to say you ain't full of the Holy Ghost either. All right? I don't know what I tell you. So understanding. And we can have 100% understanding. And the way the brain is made, the brain is made, God made the brain. The problem is the brain needs to be renewed. And others restored to its original thing, which is 100-fold, right? Jesus had 100-fold understanding. In other words, his brain never had any sin, never had any damage, never had anything to hinder it, never had anything going on to limit it, and he therefore could hear from God very clearly and do exactly what God said. The more higher 3,600-fold, the higher you go in the fold round, the clearer you hear so that you can do it. It's about doing it. Not just about hearing it. It's about doing it. When you understand it, then you do it. If you just kind of, oh, yeah, I heard that. No, the words went in your ears, but did you really hear it? And then do you understand it? Because if you understand it, then you're doing it successfully. That's what understanding does. It helps your brain to activate and obey. And once your brain starts getting trained, we're going to talk about the training of the brain in a way I've never thought about it before. I mean, I think it's pretty basic, but when you mix it with how God has done it, I think it'll help open your eyes. Yeah, the brain is made. The brain is made to be organized. That's why people get in depression too, because they can't ever seem to get organized. I had a problem with that for years. Staying on top of stuff, keeping it kind of cleaned up and organized. Because your brain is made to have things organized. I'm not talking about over-organized, but organized and clean. Why? Because your brain, when God created your brain, how many of you know when God created your brain, he didn't just kind of throw, oh, let's see, let's start, hey, yeah, hey, let's throw a little bit of this in there, and what else can we talk about? Oh, let's throw some of that in there, too, yeah, and put that together with that. One jumbled up mess just kind of packed in your brain. No, it was highly organized. It was highly structured. Therefore, your brain, whether you're structured or not, your brain is made to have structure. And it's also made to have spontaneous fellowship. So when you don't have that, it creates emotional trauma to one degree or the other. Your brain's organized, it's made to be organized, and you're always unorganized. You know what? You have to need to train yourself to put into action what your brain will, when you finally start being more organized and cleaner, you're gonna find out that your brain rests, because it's like going, okay, we did what I'm made to be. We did what I'm made to do. We did what I'm created to, you know, because your brain sees the mess. When your eyes see that mess, your brain sees it. It goes like, man, this is messed up. So what do? You feel messed up. You feel overwhelmed, undone. You need to find some way, get rid of a bunch of stuff or something, find some way to structure your life and organize it, because your brain is made to do that. And when you're not doing it, it feels just like the mess you see is the mess that your brain feels, and it releases the messiness into your life. Messy as in messed up. Messy as in messed up. All right? Y'all got that? Yeah, messy isn't messed up. some people are just messy and some people aren't. No, we're all made to not be messy. How do you know? Because God didn't make our brain. Our brain was not a mess when he made it. He made it very structured, very organized, and to be clean. That's why we always have a desire to be clean. Right? That's really why. And to be structured. That's why we feel bad when we're not structured, because because our brain is made to see it like that, and when it doesn't see it, it messes it up. It kind of disturbs it. You know, so when your brain's disturbed, it sends out disturbed anxiety brain waves through your body, because it's saying, let's get this organized so I can feel better, so I can send out peace, so I can send out awesome. You know how you do when you finally clean up something, you know, that closet or whatever, you know what it's like when you finally get it and you get organized, and now you know where everything is again for the first time in maybe a year or something like that. And I'm talking about me, you know, and you know how your brain just goes, oh, wow. Oh yeah. What's happening? It's releasing the emotions of peace and blessing. Right. And you feel, instead of anxiety and stress, which if you have that every day, all day long, all the time, all night long, pretty soon it's just going to what? Wear you out. Brain doing it. It's not necessarily the devil. The devil's the one lying to you, telling you it doesn't matter whether you're organized or clean or not. Some people get too organized and clean and they become, so you do have to have the Holy Spirit to help you to find a balance. And that's all training. Train the brain. Renew the brain. Somebody asked me to send them the link to give. If you don't have the link to give, you want to give tonight, I would be glad to send it to you. Just text me and let me know, 214-505-8719. Because we got people texting me, asking me for the link. Because the website is still, I have a whole new hosting thing and everything, so there's a whole new thing going on. And because it's new people, it's taken me twice as long to work with them. And the old people got mad at me because I left them, and they kind of made it hard. That was probably a mistake, that the way I did it. But anyway, it's actually good for the soul. So that's what's going on. So if you need that link to give, you want to give, and you enjoy giving, just send me, if you can't, haven't done it already, you want to give tonight, you can ask for the link, and I'll get you the link. Okay. All right. Well, I just sent that link out. there we go. We're going to start praying now. So any questions? Anybody got anything? I mean, we're just going to start talking about the brain more and trying to understand the brain so you can understand why you feel the way you do and what's wearing you out. It's not all just the devil, right? It's not all just the devil. It's partially the devil, of course, but it's not all just the devil. Right, and that's one thing we've got to understand. Not everything's just, oh, it's just the devil. I bind that devil. No, you need to bind yourself up. You know, loosen yourself. Get yourself understanding what's going on. Yeah. And as soon as you do, you're going to find yourself with a lot more peace. Yep, a lot more peace. All right, thank you for those gifts. Thank you for giving, everyone. LaShawn, I just sent the link to LaShawn. She says she sent me a text. Last night she called on the show. You know, Wednesday nights when we pray for everybody, right? So she calls me. When I called her number out, she says, Randy, I got somebody on here, Nicholas and Cheryl. Nicholas's mother's name, Cheryl. And she says she was listening to the show last night. She got Nicholas on the show and had to pray for Nicholas's mother also. So I started praying over Nicholas, and she says he is so shocked. He said, "You nailed it," whatever that was. I'm not sure. I don't remember all of it, but that God was speaking tonight, and everything you said is true. Wow, you know that has to be God. Nicholas, I don't even, you know, that's just God, man. God's loving people. And thank you for getting him on there, LaShawn. That was amazing. Truly amazing. Yeah. Truly, truly amazing. Give me a second. Okay. Really, really cool. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Good to have everybody tonight. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for giving. Thanks for loving PGN, what we do, and the uniqueness of the prophetic realm and the way we do it uniquely. Everybody has a unique way to do it, right? Yeah, we do ours uniquely, too. Everybody's just unique because every person's different the way God calls them. What we do here is very unique. It really is. It's really awesome. So, thank you for your love for what we do, and thanks for giving. We appreciate your giving. We really, really do. And I'm going to go here and check offerings for a second. So let's get ready to do communion tonight. Let's don't forget communion. All right, if you don't have the link to give or don't know how to give, you want to do that, I can send it to you. Just text it to me. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, LaShawn, for that. All right, cool. a good beginning, a reminder of about the hundredfold, where I got the hundredfold, 100% of the brain, or the brain working 100-fold, 100%, or 30 or 60. Some have 30, some 60, some 100. I don't know where I'm at. I'm in the, you know, 15, 20, 30. I want to be 100. And no, I'm not that yet. I'd be walking like Jesus walked, right? We can walk like he did and just be old sinners born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, right, walking with God. Yeah, and he never was a sinner. And we can be just like Jesus. That's what we're created in his image and his likeness. Anybody say we can't be like him? Doesn't understand what the Holy Spirit does, the work that he does. Very, very important to understand the Word of God and how it works and what its job is. Okay. Very good information. Thank you. You're so welcome. Thank you. I don't know who this is exactly. Oh, Deborah. Yeah, thank you, Deborah. You're welcome. I didn't realize that. Okay, I need to put your name on there. I'm going to do that right now. All right, now I got your name on there. No, no, that is. I didn't have your name for some reason. All right, Deborah, thank you. And, you know, sometimes when you go to church, if a preacher's living under condemnation, his messages will be mixed with condemnation. Mine were, I'm sure, and probably it may still be sometimes. You know, I'm not saying I'm totally free of it, but the less people are free from condemnation in the level that I'm talking about it in, the less they're free of it, the more their messages and their information and even their words are mixed with condemnation, even if they don't know it. And not that they do it on purpose, but, you know, that's just the way it is. If you don't know what's going on, if you don't have an understanding of what's happening, you're doing it, and you don't even understand that you're doing it. You don't even know you're doing it. That's what understanding does. It goes, oh, you're doing it. You go, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Thank you for the understanding. And we understand things, not condemnation, understanding. Every time God teaches me something, you know, I feel good about it. I'm not going, oh, God, I really messed that up so bad. It's so horrible. You know, I know why I messed it up, because I didn't understand. You know, when you get all you're getting, get to understand. Because, man, when you understand something, wow, you don't misunderstand. People misunderstand each other all the time. And guess what? It causes all kinds of problems in marriages. We all know about that, right? Or in relationships, somebody trying to love and have relationship with, misunderstanding. Oh, just misunderstood. Yeah, exactly. Misunderstanding. When we walk in this within a hundredfold understanding, whatever our friend, whatever our husband says or our wife says or our children say, we're not going to misunderstand it. We're going to know exactly what they're saying. That's what understanding does, friend. It helps you know exactly what somebody's saying or not saying. If you understand it, 100%. You know they don't mean it like they're saying it, but they sure sound like they mean it. But you understand they don't really mean it like that. And it doesn't. Then you don't get, you know, upset. They don't understand me. Well, you're right. They don't understand you, and it is very disturbing and very upsetting. We're all made to be understood. That's why God is so awesome, because when you get in his presence, he just understands you, man. He understands you. He understands you like nobody understands you. And that's why he loves you so much. So when we start understanding our children, not misunderstanding them, when we understand our husband, our mate, our wives, those business people, when people get mad and say something, we're going to realize they're not saying it because they hate me, even though they sound like they hate me. They're saying it because they hate themselves. Because then you understand why they're doing it, and you don't take it. That's why Jesus said, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. What was that? That was the spirit of understanding. His brain 100% understood that they did not know what they were doing. And that's what happened to Joseph. Joseph's brain became so powerful. Why do you think he let him rule with Pharaoh? His brain became so powerful. I don't know how much of his brain he was using, but it was amazing. Because he understood that what his brothers did, he knew exactly what God had designed. And most people never figured they'd still be mad at them. Oh, I forgive you, but, you know, I remember what you did. They don't understand that God used that situation to get them where he wanted them. And Joseph, he understood that. He said, brothers, man, I know you think I should hate you. I don't hate you at all because I understand. Now I understand. Okay? I'm going to get you guys houses and homes. Thank you for getting me here. The way you did it, I forgive you. Yes, you're fine. But you know what? I understand. And all the bitterness and resentment, that's what kept Joseph from having bitterness and resentment over all the stuff. His brothers, the last time he saw his brothers, the last image he had in his mind of them, well, they were trying to murder him. Live with that for years and see what goes on when you're thrown in prison unjustly and when you're, you know, got some lady accusing you of some stuff you didn't do. Try that on for size. See how condemnation works on that. Pretty big until you start understanding. Then when you understand, then you don't even go there anymore. What Satan meant for evil when you guys were trying to kill me, you know, God was trying to get me here, and I'm here to save you. Isn't that amazing? Y'all kicked me out so I could save you. That's what Jesus said. You crucified me so I could save you. Truly amazing. You crucified me so I could save you. Wow. Remember the message we did around Easter time? Passover time? Remember that? When I talked about how Jesus, do I even want to go there? I'll wait on that. Spirit of understanding, man. Jesus understood. That's why forgiveness helps you, and understanding helps you to forgive. Thank you. Thank you. Cheryl says, awesome word, Randy. Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate that. I'm telling you, man, every time I misunderstand something, I've had people misunderstand me, and you all have had people misunderstand. We've all had people misunderstand us. Think about that. What causes more problems in the world? Misunderstanding. If we understood why Putin's doing what he's doing, we might could help him. I don't know if we could or not, but if we understood what God was doing and all that, we wouldn't be fighting it. If we understood what's happening and what God is doing, friend, we would not be arguing with God. We go, yes, I understand. Satan didn't mean it for evil, but God was working it for good. Now I understand. Oh, but this is all about the brain, and it is about the brain. And it's not just the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost knows that. He don't need no help understanding. He lives inside you, and he's trying to get the information to you, friend, to your soul, so you can understand the ways of God. Moses understood the ways of God, and he's still messed up. Now we got the Holy Spirit. Maybe we can do better, hopefully. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus, right? Help me, Jesus. And we're just getting started with this, y'all. I mean, I got this revelation, and it was just simple, basic baby talk, baby food. But God's baby food, listen. It's like the highest dollar steak we have, and meat and steak and whatever that we have in our world. Yeah, his little baby food stuff is like twice as amazing and powerful as our biggest meat, best meat that we have that we could ever eat. What happens when people misunderstand you? Oh, it causes pain and heartache and makes you mad, makes you angry. It makes you, you know, sometimes we get bitter toward people. I know what you meant. No, I didn't mean that. Really? No, yeah, you did. You know? It happens to all of us, friend. We all do it, and we've all had it done to us. Misunderstanding is the thing that destroys more relationships than anything. Misunderstood. said this, and you took it like that. Wait till we get into it, and I start talking about the brain. That's what's really cool, man. Woo! Hallelujah. My Lord and my God. I mean that literally. Lord and my God. Hallelujah. All right, y'all, give me a minute. I want to get off on that. So pray for me that I don't get distracted and spend another hour on that stuff, because we got to pray. Or do we have to pray? I don't think we have to do anything, do we? Hallelujah. Give me a minute while I'm putting people giving. And all right. Thank you for giving, man. Thanks for helping. Thank you. I mean, it really just makes it nice. It really makes it nice. Pray for the studio thing. That contract has not been signed yet. Either one of them. Like, yeah, so I get some things working. So, and, yep. Okay. All right. Let's get ready to take communion. Y'all about ready to do that? What's the reason to take, what does drinking juice and eating some bread do you? Well, it does everything when you give it to God in a thing he tells you to do. We have to understand what God is saying and the purpose. That's what changed me around about it, that got me off of the, you know, just really kind of giving up on it. Because I never understood communion. I never understood it at all. You know, part revelation. So get your cup. Your bread. Get ready to eat. I'm going to get some scripture here. Okay. 1 Corinthians 11. You want to be with me? You're with me on this? You can. 11. All right. Let's look at this wonderful word of God. So why are we doing this? What's so big about some juice? We pray over it, eat it, and we feel holy. What's really going on here? What's really going on, like with me doing it every day? It is basically telling me that I don't have to be condemned because Jesus did the work and has forgiven me, and I'm forgiven, and it's his works, not my own works, that save me. It's not my own works that get done, and God works in my behalf. Even if I mess up something, he's fixing it. All right? Even if I mess it up, he's going to work it out for my good. As long as I'm seeking him, as long as I'm, you know, working with him and working, you know, wanting to please him, he will work it out for your good. Because he knows we're going to mess up sometimes. So what's all this about? It's about Jesus was the only person who never messed up, and he did it for us, and when we receive communion, we're saying, you know, I'm blessed. Jesus did the work. It's not how good I work. It's how he did the work. And when you start resting in his works, your works, especially when you don't do something perfect or don't think you do something perfect, it doesn't mess with you as much. And it's easier to flow in the Spirit when you don't feel like you have to do everything perfect. That's getting under the law. When you don't feel like you have to do everything perfect, you just fall in love, and out of love you do everything, which sounds like a love song, a love mystery, a love, you know, it's a love fest. Well, I just got to love, man. You mean that's it? I got to love, just love. Love, love, love. Are you kidding me? That's it? Love? It's that easy? Love? Love him with all your heart, your soul, your might, and strength. And your neighbors yourself, you know, hey, you got it. Everything's covered. Love. It's all about love. And that's what Jesus did. He gave himself love. It's the Lord we lift it up. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I receive, Paul the Apostle received from the Lord, which he also delivers to us. That's what I do when I get something from God. I deliver it to you. Do the same thing for me. But the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread. He got your bread. And when he had given thanks, and we give you thanks, Jesus, truly, he broke it and said, my body, eat my body, which is broken for you, and do it in remembrance of me. Always remember I did this for you, and you'll not have condemnation. Let's see. He took the cup, thinking the same manner. He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup, it's a different cup. It's a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance. In other words, never forget what I've done for you, and you'll never live under condemnation. Therefore, there's now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. This is what this helps you do. I'm in Christ. The strength. Yeah. Do it in remembrance. Always remember. When condemnation hits you, remember, oh, yeah, Jesus paid for it all. Oh, yeah, there's no more condemnation in Christ. Now, if you don't want to work things out, you don't want to take communion, because communion will mess you up. If you're not wanting to get straightened out, I'm not talking about being straight. I'm talking about if you don't want to be straightened out or get it straight or get it right, then you don't want to take communion, because communion will make you sick. That's how powerful this stuff is. When we examine ourselves, what's examining? I make examining yourself easy, and that is, do you really want to be free from your sin? Do you really want to be free from that hatred and unforgiveness you have towards someone? If you want to be free of it, you may not be yet. They've had it for a year, 2 years, 6 months, a day. If you want to be free of it, this is the way you get free, because you give it to Jesus. You enter into that remembering what Jesus did. He paid for it. Sin cannot hold you bound when you realize and receive his payment. Then all of a sudden you just start forgiving. You don't even try. You just do. Whole atmosphere changes automatically. Why? No condemnation. Unworthily is you don't want to be free, you don't care about it, you want to keep hating, keep walking in your sin, then don't take communion, because it will, the next verse, 28, 29, 30, down there it says, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, are dead. When we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned. Watch it right there. There it is, verse 32. Oh, I didn't even know that was there. But when we are judged, we are chastised by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the Lord. That's the kind of chastisement God gives. Not a lick of condemnation with it, man. It's not a little anything to do with you being stupid or ignorant or dummy or whatever or worthless, because that's what condemnation says. There it is right there, verse 32, that we may not be condemned with the world. Right? So condemnation puts you to sleep. That's what that statement says. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep or are dead. Let me click on this and see if that's what it says. are dead. That's what it means. Clicked on the meaning of it there. It says are dead. In other words, asleep means they're dead. Like Lazarus was asleep. Nah, he was dead. That's what that says. That's why. That's what condemnation does, really. Drains the life out of you. Sucks it right out of you. Then you end up sucking the life out of other people. Don't even know you're doing it. Don't even realize you're doing it. You think you're doing God a favor by condemning them in your prayers and condemning them in your... I don't think you know you're condemning. I know I didn't think I was condemning. I thought I was like, you know, preaching it good. Doesn't even don't correct people. It didn't say correction. It said condemnation. Right? Okay, give me just a moment. We're going to get ready to pray over offerings. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thanks for giving. If you want that giving link, you can text me at 214-505-8719, and I will send it to you right away. All right? Well, give me a moment. I'll be right back. I'll be right back. Can use them. Thank God all these words are recorded and documented for you. If you can't stay awake and get it, you can come back later. All right? That's what this is all about. All right. So thank you, Lord, for Andrea tonight. Lord, we just pray for Andrea tonight. We thank you, Lord, for new discoveries, God, of the spirit realm, new discoveries of the spirit realm, God, that she's not going to be satisfied. She's not satisfied with what she has. She's content, but she's not satisfied. And I thank you, Jesus, for bringing that satisfaction, because she knows she's born to walk with God. And when we're not walking with God, we're not satisfied. We have no satisfaction. We can be content with where we are, but we're never satisfied, and we're always seeking for more. That's a God thing. Satisfaction is when we walk in the hundredfold. You know, that means satisfied means you totally, everything, you're using it to the fullest. And there's nobody has it yet. We're all heading toward that. And I thank you, Jesus, for bringing Andrew to that whole new place, God, of new entrances into the spirit. You know, there's many different rooms, many different dwelling places of God. And we get in different dwelling places. Sometimes we get, I think I ought to stay here instead of checking out the rest of it. You know, you've seen kids, they'll go from room to room to get in the big, beautiful two-story, whatever, they run up downstairs, check out all the rooms and the closets and everything. And sometimes we like to do that too. You know, some people get in the spirit, they walk through a couple of rooms and they become, you know, like, hey, this is all, I don't really care. I'm not going to waste my time looking at everything. This is fine for me. And they don't see everything they got coming to them. It's because it all belongs to you. God has things for us that belong to us. And, So I thank you, Lord, that you're constantly bringing Andrea into that place of something new, a new dwelling place, a new place with you. If my father didn't have many mansions, I would have told you that many dwelling places, it's massive. We can never get it all. And yet we can get as much as we want. We can get 100-fold if we want it. That's what the Matthew 13 is all about. Amen. Shalanda, $10. Thank you, Lord. Shalanda, God, I thank you for the adversaries that she fights in her head and around her, and as you are working in her head to the adversaries that fight against her in her brain. Like I've talked about condemnation was a big adversary with me. It mixed in with the good, and you know, like the wheat and the tares, and in a sense, it kind of mixed in there. And so the more you weeded, got some things out of my mind. Start showing me understanding things. Wow. I mean, man, you talk about less adversary things going on all the time. And then I can fight the real battle, right? So the more we come out of our own adversaries situations against ourselves, and, you know, some people actually hate themselves. I've known Christian people who hated themselves down deep. And you can see it by their nature. Other people just didn't like themselves very much. You know, I think we all fit in there somewhere. And so I thank you, Lord, that the more we get understanding, the more we realize that we come to realize our real enemy. And then it's not, so we have to get those enemies out of our mind, out of our soul, weed them out. And God does that by the spirit of understanding. And I thank you, Jesus, for Shalon to God and bringing her to that 100-fold understanding, God, in Jesus' name, where she walks in 100-fold understanding of who she is and who God is in her. Hallelujah. Amen. For the devil has nothing in her to mess with her and cause her grief or sorrow and drain her of her strength. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're washing and cleansing and making new, God, and new understanding. All we have a lot to look forward to, 100-fold understanding. 100-fold understanding, God, in Jesus' name. Anything we don't understand, there's a problem. There's condemnation, there's conflict, there's bad energy, anxiety, right? That's what the whole parable is about. It's about understanding. Under what understanding does brings it produces a lot of fruit. In other words, blessing things. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing a mighty work in Shalon, God. That she's a woman of God, listening and learning, growing, never becoming lukewarm, God. In Jesus' name, always hot. For you, always, you know, whatever you say, God, she's doing it in Jesus' name, bearing fruit. Sally from UK, London, $18. Thank you, Sally. And just Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you. I see you like reaching through your pocket, and all of a sudden you didn't know you had money in there, and there's money in there. And I don't know if this is literally going to happen or it's just something you're going to, you know, you're going to like reach into your pockets not realizing you had money. You're gonna start finding, I don't know, you're gonna start finding money, or money's gonna find you, or what that is. But I thank you, Jesus, that as she reaches her pocket, not even realize, and all of a sudden, a money appears in her pocket. That's what I saw. That's what I experienced right now. And so I'm not sure exactly how we interpret that, but it has something to do with, you know, if there weren't holes in your pocket, the money wasn't falling. That's a lot of people's problem is. They get a lot of money coming through, but they have holes in their pockets. Therefore, you know, they're worse off in some ways. And so I thank you, Jesus, for all the holes in our pocket, in Sally's pocket that she's ever had, God, that they're sewn up, and that money's just going to appear, that those blessings are just going to appear because of her obedience, because of her willingness to obey you. And just talking to you, I just see you talking to God in a whole different way. I see you talking to God, and it may have to do with this condemnation thing. I don't know. The whole condemnation. Because of whatever God's doing and knowing that he's providing for you, that you start talking to God differently. I see you talking to God like your whole talk just changes from, you know, talking like, you know, God, you know, I really need this, I really need that, which is the way we are supposed to pray. We're supposed to make our requests and our needs made. But it's like I see you, I think because your needs being more met, you're like going, thank you, God. Yes, let's get together, have a wonderful day. And, like, yes. And it's like it's like having a friendship thing instead of like going into the bank to ask them for more money because you need to borrow some more money to do your thing. You know, it's like you going in, like you're friends with the bank. Like, you know, like you're not, you know, it's like your needs are already met. And you're talking to God a completely different way. You're not coming to even asking him. It's like you come to him knowing. And that fellowship with God changing to a higher level of the knowing realm. Like, so when you pray, it's like you're not going, oh, God, please bless me in Jesus' name. Pour it out on me, you know, whatever. It's like you come to God, you're like, thank you, Jesus, for all your provision for me. Thank you, Lord, for everything you did. I just thank you, Jesus. And it's kind of like a whole different conversation for God. Yeah, really beautiful. Like moving from, you know, meet my needs, which is what when we're growing, we go through that. And he does want to meet our needs to having broke through to the realm where he's meeting your needs. And it's like, it's not that you don't ever ask or anything. It's not about that. It's about you know that he's meeting it. And you're just talking to him completely different. Like, somebody say, what, okay, what, I know you're here for a reason. What'd you come for? I don't, whatever you need, you know, we're here to get it. Oh, no, I came to say, hi, how are you doing? Hey, I brought you a present. I came to show you, say, you know, thank you for everything you've been doing for me. Thank you. Oh, wow, you don't need anything? And they don't mind you needing anything because they're there to meet your needs, right? But it's like, you what now? Yeah, so, wow. When you walk out, they go, man, what's going on with her? It's like, wow, it's like we were friends instead of, you know, slave provider. Slave and provider. It's like we're on, you know, the level of, that's my daughter. You know, instead of the other way around. Yeah, I mean, that's what I saw in the spirit, just like that. And like you reach in your pocket and like they slip a, you know, a $1 million bill in or something, you know. I don't know what to do. There you go. Cool. And it's, of course, that is symbolic of provision. Right. All right. Deborah and John. Thank you, Deborah and John. Deborah does our shows on Tuesdays. She had a funeral, and she had some, you know, things going on. So thanks for praying for her. Her and John, we just bless them tonight, God. I think for that $22, we just bless them in Jesus' name. Open them up, God, through this whole realm of no condemnation. God, I may pray this for everybody. I don't know what I'm going to do. It seems to be coming out. That God, they're going to start thinking on a whole different level. Their brain, they're going to start moving in the spirit of understanding each other, understanding their calling together, how to work together, how to agree together, how to agree to disagree on things. Because when we agree, we both share our things, and then we agree to disagree. That keeps the strife and the trouble like in marriage. If you're married, man, sometimes you just have, you know, stuff. And, you know, some have it more than others, but you have stuff, man. You have disagreements. You have, you know, so to be able to agree to disagree, so you come into agreement about your disagreement. In other words, I honor you. I don't understand what you're doing, but I honor you that you prayed about this, that you believe this is what you're supposed to do, and you're doing it. I'm just going to honor you. I'm not going to try to change you. So really, I mean, man, marriages are just blessed when, you know, the husband and wife understand one another and understand their calling together, understand how to agree to disagree, right? So that there's not this strife between them all the time. Which happens, I think, you know, I don't know. Marriage is a thing of just, we both, God brings two people together that aren't going to agree on, a whole lot of things, except the Lord. And then, you know, work things out. Women think different than men, in case you haven't noticed that. Men think different than women. Did y'all notice that? Yeah. And just because we think different than y'all doesn't mean we're wrong. Right? So if God's speaking to a man, God's speaking to a woman, believe me, they're still going to come out different. So we start seeing with each other what God is doing. And we release them or we trust them, even if they're not doing it like we think they should, the revelation that I have, but the revelation they have, I'm going to trust that God's doing something. And this, we release them and agree to disagree. And agreeing to disagree means, hey, I love you. I'm for you. You need me here. Even if I don't agree with what you're doing, I'm going to be on your side, and I'll help you do what I don't agree with. You know, not, you know. Yeah. So I'm going to show I'm supporting you. And then when you support somebody and then when you support them and you don't sit there try to straighten them out the whole way, you know what happens? Husbands do this with wives and wives do this with husbands. Not Deborah and John, but just in general. So when they start doing that with each other, releasing each other and honoring each other, then pretty soon the husband comes back to the wife and says, man, honey, you were right. Man, you know, I just like didn't get it. And then sometimes the wife will say to the husband, yeah, you know, hey, you know, you know, you really did do it. You made it. You did it. And sorry, I, you know, didn't understand what you're now I see. This is amazing. So agree to disagree is the most beautiful thing that brings peace on things that we don't agree with. So the devil's not working behind closed doors to create, you know, issues. So I thank you, Lord, for them teaching that to people, teaching that, Deborah teaching that, sharing that, honor and respect one another, love one another, God, and that anointing in her life to release that honor into people's lives, and John, God, to walk in that place of understanding who he is, and understanding who he is. If you don't understand who you're not, you're going to start trying to do things that you're not supposed to be doing. If you understand what you're not, you don't try to do things. You don't try to stretch your faith out to, you know, more than what you got, right? That's a big thing that I've had to learn is, like, where's your faith at and how much faith you got? And don't try to go beyond that and you know, and work what you have. If God gives you the faith, John, to work with what work to work what you are supposed to accomplish to be successful, he's giving you faith for that, right? And learn. And our thing is learning how to work it. Amen. Awesome. I'm teaching people how to do that too, John. All right, Tanisha, $26. Well, Tanisha and Taryn, let's put this. We'll pray for them. Just like they're here. You can put them together. I'm going to keep it like this for now. Pray for Terrence later. Thank you, Lord, for Tanisha, God, and for opening, God, opening up her faith womb for higher level seeds, higher level, more potent seed, that when she plants a seed, it's explosive. It's subtle in some ways. It's like, it's not intimidating. It's easy to receive. The Bible says that the Word of God is easy to be entreated. We should be easy to entreat it, easy to be entreated, and yet when it is like the Word of God said, John the Revelator, he said he was told to eat that, it'd be sweet in his mouth and bitter in his stomach. So it's sweet in the mouth, and it doesn't work in somebody. It stirs them up. It's explosive on the inside. It's sweet, easy to be entreated, and when it gets inside them, it just stirs up, you know, stirs up their faith. You know, shows them, you know, where they are, what's going on, so they can walk in honesty and purity and not try to be hyper-faith and try to be something that they're not, to walk in what God has called them to do. Because when we try to be somebody else, then we're always failing. We're always under condemnation because we can't be that person. We can't be what they have. We can't do what they have. We can look under them and go, yeah, as an example, and then we start working little by little. So to bring people, Tanisha, to a sober-minded place of who they are so that they can fulfill who they are. Because if you're always trying to be somebody you're not, you're never going to fulfill who you are. So being sober-minded with your own faith, knowing this is what God has given me, and you look at that, you focus on that, you're content with that, and you say, God, this is what you gave me, and if this is going to get the job done, then hallelujah. And that way people aren't always trying to be like somebody else and do things and always failing because they never do activate their own faith. But helping people activate their faith. Plant a seed, it works. It's sweet to the mouth, explosive in the belly. Going down to where it changes things to the root level. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. And LaShun, $40. Thank you, LaShun. You told me to pray for Selena for $20 and Adriana for $20. Lord, for Selena, we pray for Selena tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Selena, God, that you just rip right through and show Selena, God, that you're a God, you're a loving God, you're a God of structure, you're a God that likes to, you know, get things done and finish things, get things finished. To be able to finish things, because we never finish something. Man, you're talking about condemnation. When you don't finish things, woo, condemnation, big time, because it always hangs over you, right? You haven't finished it, and that's hanging over you. You haven't finished it. That'll mess with you bad. And I thank you, Lord, that you teach Selena. You're going to help Selena to finish things, whether little things, big things, so she can walk away with peace and satisfaction that she was able to finish it. Jesus said, what pleases the Father is that I finish. Jesus said, finish the work that I started. Finishing is, you know, the part that brings the great satisfaction between you and the Father. It brings peace. It brings fulfillment. Amen. Bearing fruit. Adrian. And thank you, Lord, for Adrian. That Adrian walk in the path of righteousness. God, the righteousness is of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not just seeking the kingdom. People seek the kingdom for their own, you know, holy. They try to be holy, to be blessed, to be rich, instead of seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. And I thank you, Lord, that Adrian will create, you are creating in Adrian's heart how to you know, walk in righteousness. In other words, being right with God and staying right with God. So when you mess up, you get right with God. And the more you overcome those things and you stay right with God, the less you have to work at things, the less you have to mess with things, the more time you have to be successful. And I speak the spirit of true success, true righteousness over Adrian in Jesus' name. Bless Adrian in Jesus' name. Cause Adrian to know that you want Adrian to be successful in Jesus' name in relationships and with family and be successful in that. You don't have to be doing what everybody says all the time to be successful. You can honor your parents and disagree with them. You can honor people and honor things and leadership without always agreeing with everything you're doing. Sometimes with God, we're not even going to always agree with everything God's doing, because we don't always understand everything God's doing, right? So sometimes we're going to disagree. I don't agree with that. And God says, yeah, you'll get it later. So you don't even worry about it. Yeah. All right, LaShun, and bless LaShun, God, that fresh anointing on her life, God, to bring satisfaction. Because, you know, when we're happy, it's because the Father's happy. Now, sometimes we're sad, but even in your sadness, even in your sorrow for God, there's a joy with that. But when we're miserable and it's because we're, you know, trying to work things ourselves. And the more we rest in Him, the more happy we are, the more strength we have. So that's condemnation. Because we're trying to work things ourselves, it's always going to come back with condemnation. Every time I do something on my own, it comes back with a flood of condemnation. That's why I know, for the most part, that I'm doing stuff on my own, because there's a lot of condemnation with that. And that's where a lot of condemnation comes from, Michonne. You know this. It comes from doing things, trying to do things and do God's stuff ourselves. What happened with Abraham and Sarah? Man, once Ishmael was born and all the trouble he created, and Sarah said, get rid of that boy. I mean, he was a mess, man. He was a turkey. Condemnation that they had from that, working the thing out themselves, and coming back on them, because that condemnation just keeps on coming. That mistake just keeps on talking, you know. And so that's what it does. So I thank you, Jesus, that she's walking in the spirit of faith. God, that she's walking in trusting you, believing you. God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Letting that spirit of evangelism through her, God, manifest and help people, that shepherd in her that wants to help and love people. Let it come forth in mighty power in Jesus' name. All right, Martine, 4750. Thank you, Martine, for that, and we appreciate it. Thank you for what God's doing in your life. And the spirit of moving, like that God is moving. When God moves, sometimes you move. Like, they're not, I think it looks like you're moving to Houston, right? Yeah, so when God's moving, it's like literally in the move, God is moving. Like while you're moving, God's moving. You know, leaving, like going through the house and doing all stuff and selling property, like that, all that is part of leaving the old behind and entering into the new. You're going to a whole new land, a whole new state, a whole new place, and all this stuff. God is doing this thing of, you know, dealing with that, leaving it behind. And moving forward, it's a move of God. Hallelujah. The move of God. You're going to find yourself trusting God more. You're going to find yourself not burdened with the same thing. You know, not that all of our burdens leave, but you're not going to be burdened with the same thing. It's like God is moving you on, you know, not just literally physically, but spiritually and emotionally. Right? So thank you, Lord, for all that mighty work you're doing, for the move of God in her moving. And they're moving forward and moving on, moving through. You're moving, God. And the move of God is upon her. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Sandra, $50. Thank you, Sandra. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of provision. I see like some person, maybe an angel. I'm not sure who this is. I don't think it's your angel because I don't know. I think I know what you look like. I think I've seen a picture of you. You and Robert, your husband. So this looks like a man. This is a man, like an angel. I look like an angel, I'm sure, but it's a spirit of provision. The spirit of provision. It's like you have this thing of God from you about the spirit of provision. So I think what it's saying to me is that because you have that, like there's some angel or some something, you know, in your life or working with you or sent to you or something, you know, that you know, you have this God's going to really bring you into the spirit of provision, you know, being blessed to be a blessing. And you know, the angels that went before Israel, it was the angel that went before them. And the angel that went before them brought them into the land, brought them into their place of. So I don't know what that, I saw, but in Jesus' name, I thank you for opening that up, God, and teaching her, showing her how to, you know, work in the spirit of understanding, the 100-fold, 30, 60, 100-fold, Matthew 13, if you didn't listen to that teaching tonight, you might want to relook at the Matthew 13, the spirit of understanding, 100-fold, that understanding provision, understanding God's providing power through the cross of Calvary. That's why I take communion every day. It's more than just a condemnation thing. It's also, it releases you into the provision. Every day I partake of the provision of God by communion, every day. I'm not saying you have to do that or anybody has to do that. We all do what God tells us to do, but, you know, that's what it is. We're eating provision every day. So when I eat communion every day, it's like I'm eating my provision. What is that? Jesus' body, his blood. Not my own provision, I mean, his provision. And it's one of the ways I learned to work with it. God's really going to show you how to walk in that, to work the works of God in the provision room. All right, Angela Lanham, $50. Thank you, Angela. God bless you. You had some really unusually cool things going lately. So amazing to watch God loving you, blessing you, speaking to you, and all the things that are going on. Just really, really cool. And, you know, you're just going to make all the fakers look bad. I'm sorry to say that. You're going to make all the fakers look really bad. The ones who are, you know, trying to act like they got it going on because they think that's the way they're supposed to. They actually think they're supposed to act like they got it going on. They think faith is an act when faith is an action. But people have faith. It's not the book of Acts. It's the book of Act. You might even call it the book of acting. Not the book of Acts, you know, Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4, you know, the book of Acts. It's not the book of Acts. It's the book of acting. And they really are taught that. They think they could act it. They think acting does it. It's all action instead of action. And God's going to show, you know, he's going to open you up through the action realm of his action, like him doing things, like the boat, you know, for the license tag behind the building, that sort of thing. And just, you know, action. You know, in acting, there is action, you know, lights, camera, action. But, you know, anyway, so this whole thing, you're going to make the fakers look bad, the actors look bad, the ones that are acting. The thing is that they really think that's what it's supposed to be. And that's what happened in Jesus' day. That's why after acting for so long, you really believe that your acting is really it. When all it is acting, you know, like you have faith, acting like you're walking with God, you know, because they're taught that that's the way they're supposed to do it. So then they become that, and they don't even know it. That's why Jesus said, you know, you have things on the outside. You do good on the outside, but on the inside, you're, you know, just the opposite. To wake people up, man. To the action God, the God who acts on our behalf, not just our actions. Our actions, we're acting on what God is telling us to do. We do what God tells us to do. We enter into a thing where God does for us. It's his action, and that's the book of Acts. Yes, we're doing stuff, but we're doing what God's saying to do. Jesus told them to go to the upper room, right? That's where he told, you know, that's where they're supposed to go. So they were where they were supposed to be when the things happen. So we have to be in line with God and what God tells us, and then the action begins from God. All right, Nikki and Charles, $25, and Nikki and Charles, $55. Should come in agreement that all the darkness that comes to light around me, in Jesus' name, amen, and my son and all the prodigals that come home and never backslide. Amen to that one. And I think that's an intercessory thing going on with you. I think there's something in your heart. You've mentioned that a couple of times. And just as I'm reading it again tonight, I'm just seeing and sensing and feeling this thing that this is intercession with you, that they the prodigals come home and never backslide again. Wow. And God using you there to greet them, whether you greet them literally or not, I don't know, but like the prodigal son's father was waiting. So it's almost like, you know, the son was coming, but the father always had an attitude of waiting for his son, who he knew spent all of his wealth, knew he was coming back poor, knew he was coming back messed up, and he's really messed up, but he was looking for him. And the father looking for him, God, that's intercession. Nikki, the looking for them in the spirit, the looking for them to come home. The, you know, not give up on them. Just stay in the pig pen. You're going to be a pig all your life. Okay, I give up on it. Now, looking, waiting. When he saw his son coming, he ran. Why? Because he was looking. God's intercession is looking for them to come, drawing them to come, giving them something to, if they even think about you, they'll think, oh, okay, I don't know if my father wants me or not, but I feel like I'm going to go back. He wants you, and he wants you to come back, but they catch the wave, even though they don't understand, you know, when he says, oh, okay, you know, if I can just sleep out in the house with the help, that'll be fine with me. He said, are you kidding me? You're my son. Put a ring on him, restored him completely. Why? Because the father is putting in your heart to be like that and to do the drawing. That's what intercession is. It's drawing. Some people can't come to God unless we're drawn. And many times it's the drawing power of intercession that draws them in. Amen. And all the darkness stuff you're talking about there, I think a lot of it has to do, you're feeling the darkness of the pig pen. You're feeling the darkness of the pigs. Because his father's heart was with his son. Because he never let go of him as far as, you know, he gave him over to God, but he never let go of loving him. Love never lets go. Love can give up, give over, but never gives up. Gives over, but doesn't give up. And God's really working that kind of that love in you, that love, that whole love. Amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And for Charles, God, we thank you for Charles, God. We thank you, Lord, for his trip coming up. We thank you, Lord, for all that provision, all the anointing, all the blessing, the reward system, the blessing. Open that up, God. Let them be able to walk in a place of freedom and liberty. God, Charles can walk in the spirit of freedom and liberty and knowing that he's going to be out of the boat, you know, walking on the water. And it's all a trust thing. It's all a believe in God thing. It's all a thing of, you know, God's going to move and God's going to do. And what can I do to, you know, so I know when I've gone out, I've gone out of the country too. I went to, I went to some country, foreign country, and went into all the prison systems because that's the people I went with, the prison system people. That's we were there to evangelize. And, man, I mean, I was out of my league big time. The whole time I'm like going, whoa, I'm out on the boat over here. And, you know, so God giving strength, giving wisdom, giving that courageousness to know that you're with him. Amen. Yeah, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Sometimes we walk through the valley of the shadow of death in people's lives and in the death realm that they're in spiritually. We need to know that God's with us. So thank you, Lord, that you're with him, God, in Jesus' name. So he will not fear in any fact that God cannot use him to the fullest in that death realm, in that valley. All right, Daniel, $75. Thank you, Daniel, for that. We just bless you, Daniel, tonight in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of courage, the spirit of courage, to be courageous. You know, Daniel, I don't know. I don't really know you at all. I don't know you at all, actually. But I have a feeling that in some ways you're like Peter. Peter was very courageous in many ways. And yet, you know, what the courageousness of our human courageousness is different than the spiritual courage that we need. They're two different things, completely two different things. And I see God really, like, the reason I think Peter was used, because he was already naturally a pretty courageous person in many ways. You know, he's the one that got out of the boat, walked on the water. And I see that with you. and God, you know, shown you more and more and more how to keep your eyes off the storm of things and situations and what they could do and where they could go. And a lot of storms are whirling around trying to say, yeah, you know, what if this happens and what if that happens and what if this don't go, what if this goes down, what if this goes down? And I see this courage rising up in you, the spirit of courageousness, the spirit of faith rising within you saying, you know, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, that I know that in him there is no failure. In him there is no loss. In him in him we win. In him we're on time. In him we get words and information that tell us what to do to keep from sinking. And I thank you, Lord, for that anointing in Daniel, God, in Jesus' name, and that courageousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Get up that boat and walk on the water and keep your eyes off the storm so we don't sink ever. All right, Chris, $77, Chris in Texas. Thank you, Chris, for that $77. We just bless you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the heavenly realm. I see God, you know, wanting to show you the heavens. I don't know. I see you, like, gazing into the sky, into the heavens, into the stars, and just, you know, thinking about the heavenlies and the heavens and, you know, God and all that. And I think God's really going to show you, you know, about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, about the kingdom coming, about the kingdom of God in you right now. So that's the whole kingdom message. God's going to really, you know, open you up to the true gospel of Jesus Christ and how far the body of Christ, many of us have gotten off of it and don't even know it. And God's going to just want to show you the kingdom and the gospel of the kingdom, right, which is really based in thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. All about heaven. We gaze into the heavens, but God wants us to bring it to earth. And you have that calling that you gaze into the heavens and you draw what's in heaven into the earth. The will of God, the purposes of God. That's what Abraham did. Abraham did that. God gave him that faith. Guess what faith does? Faith draws from God and brings it to the earth. For God's kingdom to be built on the earth. For God's kingdom to be brought to earth. Amen. That's the era that we're in. When this era is over, you know, let a millennium reign, it's really going to be there then. And then pretty soon, you know, we'll have a new heaven and a new earth. And heaven's going to come to earth. Yeah. So the whole thing. Yeah, in Jesus' name. All right. Amen. Open up those divine appointments, God, in this next few weeks. In Jesus' name, open them up for Chris. Hallelujah. Divine favor and discernment and knowing, walking in confidence that you're with him, God. Even though he doesn't always know exactly where he's going, exactly what he's doing, but knowing that you're with him is what gives him the strength and the image, the idea, ability to pursue your will, no matter, you know, it's not on earth yet, but it's coming. And his job is to step into it and draw it so that God takes over and begins to bless the earth, you know, and welcomes him back, eventually when he comes back, to welcome him back. Amen. All right, I'm trying to move on here. Andrika, $101, ESW Auto Sales 50. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, let Andrika, let ESW Auto Sales be so great that people just hate ESW Auto Sales. You know, you can really tell when you're really successful and blessed is when people hate you. You know, Jesus told, he said, the prophets, he said, you guys aren't prophets because, you know, when people hate you, you know, for the kingdom of God's sake, because when they're jealous, what really killed Jesus, according to the book of Acts, is they were jealous over him, and they rose up, you know. And so when God, you know, and it's really what this is talking about is the hundredfold realm, because the Bible says, if you read it in Mark, it talks about the father, the house, home, mother, father, for my sake, you receive, you know, hundredfold now, in the life to come and now. And so when you walk in it, but it comes with persecution. So that's the one thing we got to learn how to deal with in being blessed, is that it's going to come with persecution. So God lets us be persecuted a little bit as we go along the way, whether it's from family members, from people around us, business, whatever, friends, religious people, whatever it is. And all of it, God does it all to prepare you for the hundredfold persecution, because people are jealous over, you know, why is God blessing you? What's going to, thank you, Jesus. Let it happen, God, and you let it be done in Jesus' name. Let that be one of the greatest signs of it, the jealousy in Jesus' name. Amen. Open it up. All right. Yeah, Tyreek, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Tyreek. Just bless Tyreek, God. Give him favor with God and man. Thank you, Lord, that he walks in the favor of God and man in Jesus' name, and he's growing in stature and favor with God and man. God, that he will be able to look to the heart instead of to the outside beauty, but see inside beauty for what it is. And a rare thing is to find somebody with outside beauty and inside beauty. Yeah. All right. Help open his eyes to that, dear Jesus, and help him, bless him with that, Father. Amen. For Ray. Okay. All right. Torrey, God, just thank you for Torrey, $10, and just bless him in Jesus' name. And encourage him, God. Give him encouragement. Give him courage to fight the battle. That you give him courage. We just need courage. And I thank you, Lord, for giving him courage that he can stand up to what he needs to stand up to. And, you know, to when people try to get him to bow and do what they think is right, when he already knows what's right, I thank you, Jesus, to give him courage to stand up with that and not compromise. In Jesus' name, give him blessing, Jesus. Show him your way, God. Give him supernatural courage to be able to stand and, you know, even when people, you know, criticize or find fault, that he will have the courage to, you know, to not bow down to things. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, he said, well, King, we still honor you, we respect you, but we're not going to bow down to you. All right, that's it. We don't do that. That's not what we do. We give him courage and strength. Amen. Do that for him, God. In Jesus' name, bless him. Chris, $16. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Lord, I speak life over him. I speak life. I thank you, Lord, that everything given up and given over and given in, showing him how to, the Bible says, he who loses life for my sake will gain life. And I thank you, Lord, that he's gaining life. He's gaining wisdom, gaining revelation. I thank you, Lord, that his heart is that you're showing him how to keep his heart from being divided, you know, and his mind being divided. He has a single mind and a single heart, and revealing him to how to keep that, because the enemy is always trying to divide my attention. He's trying to divide my attention from God, which is like, you know, or sinking temporary, but still tries to divide my heart, tries to get me to, you know, instead of just loving God with all my heart, people try to get me to love them. You know, I said, well, the only way I can love you is love God first, and not letting your heart be divided, but let God keep it in unity with God, where God is showing you how to love him, and then he will give you love for what he wants you to love and what he doesn't want you to love, of course. He won't love that. But to love people and to love what you do and love God, you know, love life, love what you're doing, only God can do that. So we thank you, Jesus, for imparting that to him. And, right, I mean, because when you love what you're doing, enjoy what you're doing, it's easier to get blessed. Amen. So show him how to get that love when we love the Lord by God with all of our heart. Not people first, not God first. And then he gives us the love for everything we're supposed to love. And you can love your work. You can love your job. Some people love going to work. Some people love their job. You know why? Because God has blessed them. Nothing wrong with loving your job, loving your work. Amen. It's just part of the blessing of peace and rest. Andrika, $15. Thank you, Andrika. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for the wisdom you've given her to stand the test, to stand in Jesus' name, and to watch the fruit of the test in her life, God, where when we get tested, we pass the test and we move on. We move up. Moving on up. So I thank you, Jesus, for the passing of tests, the not giving given up, not given in, but given over. The big thing about a battle is it makes us want to hang on to something. When God says, when the battle comes, it's like he's saying, let me have this. I got it. And in putting things into God's hands makes it totally secure. Like the Bible talks about making things secure is giving them, you know, they not up treasures on earth, but lay them up in heaven where there's no moth or rust or destruction. You know, it's kept safe. So when we give things to God, you know, it puts the safe zone on it, puts protection on it. It doesn't rust. It doesn't fall apart. It doesn't mess up. It stays safe and protected and kept by God. All right? In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Yeah, God's showing you how to walk in that. Without his protection, the enemy can mess with stuff, right? He's the God of this world, right? The world system, right? So we give it over and we keep ourselves in the world system, into the system of God. Systems are belief systems. Systems are, when we give things to God, we're literally taking it from the system and giving it to him. It gets under his protection and his blessing. Carmen, $68. Thank you, Carmen. Thank you, Lord, for that river flow, the flow of the river of God, that flow of the Spirit. God, the information that comes for her, just the river, tapping into the river, letting the river flow, learning how to more and more how to step out into deeper levels of the water. The more you learn, the more we grow, the more we step out and we grow, we step out into deeper waters. Like you see, well, there's a scripture that talks about ankle deep water, knee deep water, and then, you know, then you dive and you swim. It's like God bringing you that place of, you know, ankle deep is important. You got to learn to walk in it, and then knee deep, and then waist deep, and then we dive in and we swim. You know, swimming is a whole different thing because when you're swimming, you're no longer, you know, where you can just put your foot down, you know, on the and stand up and breathe in, you know, air. Now you're out where you can't, you're swimming means you're in a place where you can't touch the bottom. Right. And so that takes faith, that takes security, knowing that God is with you. And that's always what I deal with all the time is, God, are you with me in what I'm saying about this? Are you with me? Are you with me where I'm going? Are you with me? If you're not with me, I'm going to step out and go. You know, if you're not with me, just show me you're not with me on this. Because I think there's, sometimes he uses things to get us stirred up and get us going, and then it ends up being something else. You know, oh, I think this is the thing, and then we kind of get kind of wets us up to get something we think we're gonna, you know, get or understand. And we start thinking about it a lot, and then all of a sudden, just because that one doesn't work out doesn't mean it, because he's activating your mind. He's getting you to swim out deeper. He's getting you to, to move, to get moving. There's a movement going on. When God moves, we move. You know, Jesus said, when my Father moves, I move. When he works, I work. And so the whole thing about movement and moving and the only way you can really move with God is not put your foot on the shore or on the, you know, where your feet are not touching when you're in the water. You're not ankle deep, you're not knee deep, you're swimming. And thank you, Lord, for that whole new place, God. You're always taking me deeper. I'm always going deeper. I'm always getting to where it's less safe, where it's more, you know, if God's not with you, we could really go down. And you keep God, your eyes on God more and more, because you know, not only do you want to, but you know that if you don't, that, like Jesus said, I can do nothing without my Father. I can do nothing. I mean, he was deep, way deep into the deep parts of God, because he was deep with God. Because when he said, I can do nothing, that means if God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. In other words, there's no safe place. There's no, I'm standing on the bottom. I'm kind of ankle deep, knee deep. No, he's out there where, he's totally dependent on the Father, totally dependent on him. And God, I thank you, Lord, for that place with Carmen. In Jesus' name, feeding that, nurturing that. Amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, Donald and Tanya, $160. Thank you, Donald and Tanya, for that $160. Bless you for that. In Jesus' name, may God's going to harden people's hearts. You're going to watch God harden people's hearts. Just like you did Pharaoh, you're going to watch God, you know, soften people's hearts. And it's, a lot of it's going to be about hard hearts and soft hearts. And just because somebody's heart is hardened doesn't mean God's not doing something in the midst of all of it. Because sometimes we're praying for Pharaoh's heart to be softened when God's like going, I'm not going to soften his heart. I told you, I'm going to harden his heart, Pharaoh. Moses, I'm going to harden his heart. Remember, I told you? Well, God, you know how we're ever going to get if you don't soften his heart? He said, I'm hardening his heart because I'm doing something. I'm working something. I'm working this into walking you out with the, you know, provision. So he developed the whole thing that when the last plague came, hardened his heart. When the Israel was probably soften his heart, God, so we can get out of here. But God had a purpose in hardening was because he was bringing it to a crescendo. He'd bring it to a thing where, like, you know, they were so, you have to understand this is important. They were so frustrated with the God of Israel because their whole nation, their whole area, their house was falling apart. Now their firstborn are dead. You know, God did all that and methodically and on purpose so that when they knocked on the door and asked for money, it's like, you know, they're going like, any other time that on the ninth plague, they'd still, now nah, you can't borrow nothing from me, you bunch of poor, no good slaves. Go back to work. Go home and eat your lamb chop. You know, get out of my house. Get away with it. The day before that, that's what they would have done. But on that day, the process of the 10th hardening of the heart was the day that the wealth transfer began. And they said, yeah, come in. You have to read it and see. Come in and get it before we all die. That's what they thought. They thought God worked it to where the hardening of the heart was where they would be thinking that very thought. Say, yes, take whatever you want and get out. Unless we all, what good is our money if we're all dead? So you might as well take it and get out before we're dead too, like our sons and our husbands. That was the process, and it's difficult and it's hard to watch. But we have to be trusting God and trust God. That is all working to a process. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. What a word. I don't know, man. It's crazy. All right. Noelle, $175. Thank you, Lord, for that new way. Noelle's not about the amount so much as it is what she's doing in her giving. We thank you, Lord, at this point, at least in this season, the process of change, the process of rearrange, the process of even the whole thing about the system, Noelle, God is really showing you, he's going to open you up to the system, like words you're giving Donald Connie about the system, how God was bringing them out of the system, how he did the process of bringing them out. Like I said, most Christians were praying that Pharaoh would harden his heart probably after the second or third one. Even the Egyptians were hoping he would soften his heart because they're like, man, he's going to tear up our whole place. We're going to have nothing left if you don't soften his heart. Even they were hoping he would soften his heart. But you know what? God was working them out of the system. There was a system thing going on. And he was breaking the back of the system so that when they went in and asked for the money, they got the money. Any other time, like I said, Donald, on the ninth plague, they would have still been, are you kidding me? And they went up that desperate. You can't have our money. Borrow them enough. But on the tenth plague, wow, it was a system. God was breaking the system. That's what the 10 plagues were about. One of the main things the 10 plagues were about was breaking the system. Even God told Moses at the bush, he said, you're gonna have the women go, you're gonna have them go to their neighbors and ask for the money. And Moses didn't have a clue the devastation that God was gonna bring. And he's going, why are you doing this, God? Because I'm working, I'm bringing down, I'm. He didn't take it down completely, but he whacked it good. And then the Christians, the Israelites walked out with a lot of dough, you know, so they could have currency for their new currency. Think about that, girl. Currency for the new system. Yeah, there you go. There's a toy. Yeah. Currency. They walked out with gold and silver and cloth, right? Think of that. I love this stuff, man. Noel's going, amen. I really need to hear this. He did. Oh, that was earlier. That was earlier, 10 o'clock. Okay. Wow, I bet you did. Well, I do too, every day, man. Every day. Yeah, think about that. Think about what, I mean, you know, that just kind of all came together. And Donald and Tanya's word kind of opened up the door for it. Like, that's been happening lately. One word leads into another word for another person. And look how it fit for you with what, you know what I'm talking about. You've been telling me this. So look how that fit perfectly. That is amazing, man. God is so good. Could you imagine how the Israelites, I mean, to a certain degree. Hang on a second here. Yeah, so Noel, I mean, that just kind of came together for me, and that was, and as you know, I don't plan this stuff, man. This stuff just happens. You can't make this stuff up. Honestly, this is mind-boggling. You cannot make this stuff up the way this all happens. Nobody's smart enough to do all this. It's only God. Look at that, man. I think that's a sign, Noel, about the system thing, and that, see, that's just, you know, and I ever thought they walked out with gold and silver, right? When it gold and silver, they walked out with. How many times I preached on that? I should know exactly. They plundered the Egyptians. Okay. Leviticus. Articles of silver and gold. They did have, you know, I say it all the time. I don't even pay attention to saying it. But it said, spot on, Randy. I feel so drawn into it. Me too. That's amazing. Look at that. Because, you know, yeah. So there's something about that, the silver and what you did, Noel, with your offering this week. And I hope I got the amount close to what was right with that. I you know, did a little research. I hope I got that right. I hope I got it close. You know, because I like to pray over amount. Yes, I did. Okay, thank you. I wasn't thought I was pretty sure, but you know. So gold and silver, man, there it is right there. My God, that is amazing. You know, the people took their dough before it was leavened, carrying it on their shoulders and kneading bowls wrapped in clothing. Well, I didn't know that. Furthermore, the Israelites acted on Moses' word and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. And the Lord gave the people such favor. This is what blows my mind about this, Noel. I mean, this right here, that's crazy talk. Like, watch this. It's like, yes, and God just gave them favor. Favor? Gave them favor? In the sight of the Egyptians, gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptians that they gathered there, that they granted their request. In this way, they plundered the Egyptians. I mean, okay, now I've talked about this before, but because we talk about this fairly often, they gave them favor with the Egyptians. I mean, come on. God just wrecked their whole world, the Egyptians' whole, you know, everything, their water, their food, their animal, their cattle, everything, darkness, I mean, freaking them out, scaring them half to death? Come on. And then what the, here it says he gave him favor. Yeah, the favor was, yeah, come on in, man. You might as well come in and take everything, because if we're all going to be dead, my husband's dead, my children's dead, my firstborn animals are all dead. Yeah. Can you have it? Take it and get out. And that's what it says right there. And the Lord gave the people such favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and they granted their request. I don't know, man. I mean, you call that favor? God has a strange way of getting favor. I'll tell you that for sure. I hope he never try to get, you know, favor in my... I don't know. Do whatever you want to, God. I'm not going to tell you what you're not to do. Well, sometimes we have to look at that. Now, let me ask you something. If you saw that going on, if you saw, you know, God tearing up some city, and they got a bunch of Christians in there, and they've been persecuting them and troubling them, oppressing them and making slaves, and then all of a sudden God comes in and plagues the city for a couple of months, 10 major plagues. You know, I mean, come on. And then he says, and God gave them favor with the Egyptians. No, they said, man, take it and get out before we all, when you read it, when you actually read it in the Holy Ghost, that's what you read into that. Then we go, yes, you want to borrow some money? Yeah, my children, hey, don't step on my dead child over there. Please, yeah, there you go. Died, you know, at midnight tonight. Yeah, they died at midnight. Well, yeah, don't want it. We felt this strange presence go by in a cloud kind of thing and came into our room and our house, and then my child's dead, my husband's dead, my animal's dead. Hey, yeah, come on in. Just don't step on them, please. Yeah, go get this gold and silver. It's in the back, in the closet over there on the right-hand side. Yeah, just take it and get out. We just hope we all live through this. If we don't want one more plague, what's the next plague going to do? Kill us all? Probably. That's what they were thinking, y'all. That's what they were thinking. That's the favor this is talking about. Don't tell me God's thoughts aren't higher than yours and mine, because I wouldn't call that favor at all. That was some worked. That was worked. He worked that one. Get ready. I'm just going to prophesy to you right now. Get ready for God to work some stuff like this. Now just get ready. I mean, I know it's going to happen. I've been talking about it for a while, and we're going to see it. You know, you just think Putin's crazy. Yeah. And just wait till God gets a little crazy about dealing with stuff. Yeah. Then you're going to go, dear God, what kind of God do we serve? Well, we serve a God that knows how to take care of business. He's quite a businessman. A businessman. Hang on a second. Crazy or what? Favor? Man, that's a new flavor of favor I've never seen. The flavor of favor is going to change, y'all. Are y'all ready for that? It's crazy. It's crazy. It's going to have a flavor change. The flavor of favor. It's going to be more like that right there. So you better get over the condemnation, because you'll be condemning yourself. Oh, did I have something to do with these children dying? No, that's God's will. That's God's purpose. That's what God was doing. Well, we're taking your money. You know, if those people would have been walking in condemnation, they'd have never asked for their money. They'd be feeling sorry for them people, feeling sorry for those poor little Egyptians with dead husband, dead child. I mean, they're firstborn. You think about your firstborn dying. Think about that. That is not favor. Flavor of favor. Woo! Hallelujah, my God. Yeah, I believe it. So do I. I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't know exactly the deal. I'm waiting for God to speak to me about some things. And he still hasn't spoken to me about some particular stuff. And I know he's going to, because he always does. So because he's not speaking to me, then I don't think anything major is going on yet. Looks like it's trying to. If it's going to, God's going to tell me about it. And the favor and the flavor of favor will be in our favor. All right, Noel. My God, there you go, girl. Dude, dear Jesus, thank you, Lord. Jeannie, $200. Thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. Thank you, Lord, that I think somebody gave her a word about she moved into her promised land or something like that. My God, what an awesome thing. Thank you for helping them as they sell their house and all that stuff they're doing with their house and all the work they did on it and everything. That will go quickly, that will go even more than they thought. They'll be able to wheel and deal and get, you know, squeeze it to the highest as God gives them the grace or whatever. I'm not messing with it. And I thank you, Jesus, for that high level of favor. One thing to have favor, you know, it's one thing to have favor, Jeannie. It's another thing to be highly favored. That's what happened. Remember, that's what happened with Mary when the angel came in and said, "Blessed Mary, you are highly favored." So there are different levels of favor. And so when we keep obeying God, guess what our reward is? A higher level of favor. Higher level of favor. And so we go from glory to glory in the favor realm. People think favor is favor. No, it's not. There's highly favored. There's high favored. There's, you know, favored. There's lowly favored. Or whatever. You know, I don't know what lowly favored or not. But, you know, yeah. It's like there's different flavors of favor. Hey, different flavors of favor. Jeannie, there's different flavors of favor. What flavor do you like? Well, the flavor of favor you need, you're going to walk in, is going to be the reward system. The reward system isn't just if God likes you more than somebody else, he's going to reward you more. No, it's because he's made you to obey him, and when you obey him, do what he says and do what he wants instead of what we want, not my will, but thy will be done, then that high level of favor, you know, it's just activated. Now, God doesn't treat everybody. People think God treats everybody the same. He does not treat everybody the same. Flavors. Yeah, Carmen says, I like that. The flavors of favor. Me too. That's brand new. I never had that one before, Carmen. That's fresh. Wow. Flavors of favor. Woo! Jesus! My God. You never know what you're going to get into around here, what the Lord's going to say. I like that. The flavors of favor. Yeah, me too. I mean, I saw that and heard that, and oh my God, that's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. What flavor do you like? Well, you know, according to your 30-1600 folk, favor has to do with understanding. It's when you walk in 100 fold understanding, you don't miss it with God. You do exactly what he says. You don't add to it or take away from any of it. 100-fold, you hear clearly, and you act clearly. You hear 100%, you obey 100%. That's 100-fold. That's what that is. And when we talk about this with the mind, the brain, the actual brain in your head, the mind that God's given us, and all that, and you start seeing what I'm seeing, you know? Yeah, God's going to give us understanding of this, and when we do, we're going to walk in it, man. It's to walk in it. Understanding is brought so we can walk. A lot of people can't walk in it. They can talk about it. They can read it. They can repeat it. They can memorize it. But they can't walk in it, you know, because of understanding. Understanding is what your brain does when God blesses it so you can actually put it into action. The book of Acts is 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold understanding. You put it into action correctly. Just as you're not doing something you think is right. You're doing what you know God is telling you is right. And because you're doing that right, the rewards of the favor, the rewards of that level of favor, you know, like 3,600 fold, you're going to have 3,600 fold levels of favor. You walk in 100 fold, you might as well get ready for some persecution, y'all. That's what happened with Jesus. But it says, 100-fold comes with persecution. Just get ready for it. Can't handle the persecution you got now? How are you going to handle it? 100-fold. If you ever get the 100-fold, which I believe God wants us to do it. All right, Jeannie, there you go. Amen. Jesus. Terrence, $222. And Tanisha asked me to pray for Zena, and I missed that earlier. Thank you. I got that now. Tanisha, thank you. Thank you for Terrence 222. I love it that he's given. He's put the numbers in there. I don't. 222, the year of the year of treasures. God, I thank you that the year of treasures, that you just bring confirmation after confirmation after confirmation to Terrence, God, that you're going to completely confirm. You know, when God confirms something, that means that, you know, we get it and then he confirms it. Confirmation, let everything be confirmed by two or three. Why is confirmation so important? Why does God want us to have confirmation? Well, let's just look at different ways confirmation comes. Okay. Let's look at Gideon. Gideon got confirmation. The angel tells him, he says, man, you're a mighty warrior. You know, he's going like, what? I'm over here hiding. You call me a mighty warrior. And God goes, yep. And he goes, well, I want to need some confirmation on that because I'm having a hard, I mean, I believe, but I'm having a hard time believing that. Me going to lead Israel, that's just like, that's not a thought in my head. I have no confirmation of that. I need some confirmation. So, okay, so a little confirmation. And he asked God for some miracle confirmation of some fleeces. You know, he put a piece of fleece, the sheepskin out there, and it asked God, because every morning the dew on the ground was there. So, you know, I put the fleece out there, and if I put the fleece out there, and I knew dew's going to be on it, automatically said, if you can have the fleece have no water on it, no dew at all in the morning, then I'll know it's God. So he did a couple more things like that with the fleece. And God confirmed for him. He confirmed for three times. I think it was three times. Was it three times? I don't even know. I know it was twice. I think it was three times. Terrence, hang on a second. I got to look. This is for you, bro. I love this stuff, man. Getting this stuff is so awesome. Okay, let's go. Y'all help me find that if you will. Okay. Gideon. Gideon, fleeces. Gideon's fleeces. All right. Okay, where's that? Somebody help me find that. Judges 6:40. Okay, let's go there. Judges 6:40. Terrence, hang on a second. I got to get this for you, man. Judges 6:40. Yeah, here it is. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, hey, Terrence, this is for you. Hang on a second. You're going to save Israel by my hand, like you said. Look, I'll put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. Oh, there you go, on the threshing floor. If there's dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on the ground all around, which is, you know, not usually happening, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand. So it happened. He rose up the next morning, squeezed the fleece together, wrung the dew out of the fleece, and a bowl full of water. No fleece on the ground. No water. No water on the ground, right? So Gideon said to God, okay, don't be angry with me. Here's number two. But let me speak just once more. Let me test. It's a test. I pray just once more that with the fleece, and let it be dry only on the fleece, but on the ground that there be wet. And so he did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on the ground. All right. And then all right. So that's what happened. And so it was happened twice. So this 222 thing and the treasure thing, the year 2022, God's going to really bring confirmation to you and show you that, you know, I know you believe, of course, and all that, but it's like, you know, when we're called to do something like Moses was called to do, or him, You know, we need confirmation. Moses needed confirmation. And confirmation is important. Supernatural confirmation is extremely important, because that's what settles it, that you're not just, you know, making this stuff up. You're not fantasizing. You believe, but confirm it for me. Right. Confirmation is settling it in you for sure. And God is settling in it for sure with you, bro. And get ready for that, because that's what's important to bringing it to pass. Is because then you go forth in strength and you know all that. And even when Moses went to Egypt, and even when Gideon went to do the process, you know he was so built up, he was so strengthened, he was so tall, he was so big in the spirit. From what God did with him, the confirmation, he was able to walk in it and do it. Amen. Where in the battles that came, the struggles that came, he walked right through it. He walked right through it because of the confirmation. We always look back to the confirmation. You know, like Paul told Timothy, go look back at your confirmation, your prophecies, the words that are given and the things. And yeah, so go look at that, meditate on that. Because you're going to need it to fight the fight. So confirmations are to fight the fight. So 2-2-2 has to do with confirming, and completing the confirmation. Like when we go through Bible school, let's say, or something, we go through real estate school, we go through college, whatever, you know, graduating, you know, we get the paperwork and all that we graduated, you know. It's like, yeah. So confirming it. All right, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Pour that confirmation realm on him in Jesus' name. Open that up, the confirmation. Yeah, God confirmed. And when God confirms, you know, that's the finishing product. And I thank you, Lord, for that being done in Jesus' name. Amen. Say, pray for Zena tonight. Go and pray for Zena. God, we just thank you, Lord, for the word that I got earlier about God working, you know, with favor, the favor realm. I don't know are we ready for the favor like they had in Egypt? Is that what we're ready for? Yeah. That's the favorite when I prophesied over Noel and about the, you know, and also Donald and Tanya, I think, mixed together. You know, are we ready for that kind of favor? Can y'all handle that? You know, y'all is in the body of Christ. Can we handle this stuff? Can you imagine walking in condemnation and then you step in there and say, can we have your money, gold and silver and cloth? And you know that your God just killed their children. Of course, they were rebellious and resistant. They could have had the blood of little bros too, but it's like, could you imagine walking in condemnation and trying to go in there and take that money? You wouldn't be doing that. You'd be saying, okay, I'm sorry to bother you. I got to go. You know, Moses, I can't go do that, man. That's what condemnation would have, you know. You see what I'm saying? Condemnation. Big thing. Really, really, really big thing. That's what all of our confirmations are about. That's what all knowing that God is with us. You know, God is with you. The angel said to Gideon, and he goes, okay, I just need some confirmation. Yeah, and when he got the confirmation, man, Thomas got confirmation. He needed some confirmation. I mean, they all needed confirmation. They all got it, too. Whatever confirmation they needed, God gave it to them. You know why? Because that's part of the process. Without that, yeah, he did it. Same thing with Joshua and all of them. They all needed confirmation. All great men of God and women of God who were there, they all got their confirmation. Really, really important. Like God saying, I approve of you, and I'm going to confirm it to you enough where you know it. Lord, I thank you for Zena. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your compassion, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that if in Egypt, when you dealt with Egypt, God, you know, the things that happened and the favor of God was not exactly what I consider favor in our realm of thinking about favor. Favor is like all of a sudden somebody who didn't necessarily even know anything about you, all of a sudden they go, man, I don't even know you, but here you go. I'm gonna give you this. This is yours. You need a car? I'm gonna give you my car. Here's my car. Take my car. Brand new car. I just got it. I'm giving it to you. That's favor. To me, that's favor. It's like somebody thinking good about you. favor has not, in my eyes, has not been, you know, God whacking up on stuff and saying, go in there and ask for, you know, what belonged to you, because God said, once it's yours, it belongs to you. And it did belong to them, and they did walk out because it belonged to them. And I've talked about why. Most people don't understand that, but Joseph was the one who you know, you know about Joseph? The Joseph story didn't end. Because of what Joseph did, the Jews walked out with the wealth. Is what Joseph did. Joseph prepared the way for the whole thing, the whole wealth transfer that Joseph was a part of through the years of famine, the years of blessing, years of famine. And what he did, if you read the whole story, go read it again and see how God used Joseph to transfer a wealth into Pharaoh's pocket, into Egypt's pocket, so that they could walk out with it. It's called different flavors of favor, the way God does things, man. My God, it's so amazing. Yeah, seeing that we pray in Jesus' name, God, we can all put the blood of our doorpost. We can do it. Come on. Let's walk out wealthy. We don't have to have, we can walk out wealthy together and blessed together. Amen. All right, Nicole from D.C., $360. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Nicole. God, we thank you for the wisdom and the knowledge and the grace, God, and the transfer of wealth of information. Sometimes God transfers wealth of information to us, and that information is a transfer of wealth. Well, because seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Most of the time, okay, so let's just go back to the teaching tonight, Revelation, and what the word we're given to, God's given to her, Nicole. So, the wealth of information. What's the wealth of information? And Nicole really identified with this, because when I talked about this stuff, as I've already said a few times, about the limitless, 100% use of the brain, oh, my gosh, man, it's amazing. You know, I know she caught that, and she brought that back to me several times. And that, you know, I really got that. And so, yeah, so here I am. Here we are again. We're coming back to it. God's showing me things about the brain. And what we're about to see, Nicole, is the transfer of wealth of 100-fold wealth, 60-fold wealth, 30-fold wealth of what? Of understanding. And, friends, when you understand, that is righteousness. Because when you understand something, that's first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We seek the kingdom of God. What does the kingdom of God come with? Knowledge and information. God gave Moses information. He says, in the last plague, you're going to go in there and you're going to take the gold and silver. And he's like, what? Going to take the gold from the Egyptians? That ain't going to happen. Well, just wait till I get through with the process. Then you'll know. So he gets through the process. And so what was that? What was that? It was information. All of it was information. It came to Moses in the realm of information. Everything Jesus got was information. What? From the Father. Everything, Nicole, is about information. And when we understand 100-fold that information, that means we're walking in it 100-fold. And this is one of the jobs God's called you to do and be as a teacher, as a person, a professor, and all that kind of thing, that to that a passion you have, to teach people, wake me, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at this whole realm of 100-fold, which brings us into the, of course, the money realm. The information God gave Moses was about money. Yeah, if you have a problem with money and God, you got a problem, man. God, get over it, for crying out loud. And if you don't get receive the information, oh, I don't need the information. I don't really believe in that. Okay, well, I'm sorry. You know, bless your heart. But information from God is revelation. And revelation brings understanding. When you got understanding, then it actually happens to you. It's not just talk anymore. It goes from talk to walk. It goes from talk. Take the T away from talk, and you got a W walk. Talk, and it's no longer talk. It's walk, man. You're walking now. You're walking with God. Out through information. 100-fold understanding. The word gets in you, and you understand it. It doesn't get taken away. It doesn't get grounded out. It doesn't get fucked up. It grows in you. It becomes part of you. And you walk in 100-fold understanding, which means you walk in 100-fold of everything that God has. 100-fold, man. That's a dream. Let me tell you something. That is God's dream, people, in this hour. We're talking about 100-fold in the money realm. Most people have not received 100-fold in the money realm. You know why? Because it takes 100-fold understanding to walk in 100-fold of that financial blessing. You can't have one without the other. We all focus on the money instead of the understanding, the information from God, the revelation from the Holy Spirit. That's when we talk about spirit of revelation. That's what I flow in. I flow in the spirit of revelation, you know, in a major way. You know, I'm just going to tell you, I flow in the spirit of revelation in a major way because it just comes out of me all the time. You know, prophesying, that's what that is. It's revelation. It's the voice of God. And then that's why God has me explain it to people so we can break it down so it's edible, so it's eatable, so it's you can get it in your system so you can understand it. You know, understand what I'm saying? I know you understand. I know you guys understand. Noel says, okay, the condemnation message tonight coupled with the persecution, jealousy message, huge. Oh, thank you. Woo! There's persecution, there's jealousy. That's jealousy, maybe not because we're a pillar in the kingdom or a great leader, but because our Father in heaven is our source. Yeah, exactly. And they don't like it that we're not a slave like them. That's the thing. They don't like it because we're not a slave like they are. Heaven is our source, regardless the outcome, and they resent and are jealous of that. It hit me like a ton of bricks. Great message received. Amen. All right, thank you. Awesome. All right. I'm trying to make sure. Sometimes I miss messages and texts. So please forgive me if I do. I try to go back and check them. I try to check them more often. I'm trying to get better at that. I just get on a roll, and, you know, it's hard to – I just get on a roll, and I get – my whole life is getting on a roll. I don't have timers and alerts going to send me. I just like – it'll be 10 o'clock, and I'll be going, oh, my God, I'm supposed to have a show at 9. You know, it's not spacey. It's something wonderful from Jesus. All right, Nicole just gave 25 more. Hang on a second. Just a minute here, I'll be right back. You know, give me just a minute. I'll be right back. Okay, I think I'm back. Sorry about that. We're here. All right. All right. All right, Karen. Karen, thank you, Karen. Her dogs, thank you, bless you. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for the love of God. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the love of God in Karen, God, that you are opening her eyes every day. Like, you know, daily bread, that's what daily bread does. Daily bread opens our eyes. Information from heaven. That's what gives us understanding. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for Karen, God, that her you know, learning. It's like you have such a desire to learn and know. And God has given it to you because blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for theirs. What does it say? Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst. For they shall be filled. And, okay, oh, wow, here we go. Aaron, listen to this. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst, for they shall be filled. Let me get that scripture for you. I want to read that. Hang on a second. All right, so Matthew 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now watch what it says. I never saw this before until just now. This is so cool. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. What is righteousness? Righteousness is, okay, I've had this doctrine all my life, and now God's saying it's not all totally correct. So he speaks to me and tells me what is correct. And the information he gives me that corrects the half-baked thing or whatever it is or whatever, so it makes it right, right? So this is what happens. I get it right. I got it right. Through what? Through information from heaven. And so that's righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger. So hunger and thirsting is really for information that, you know, God, what do you say about this? Is it really true that this doctrine is wrong and this one is right? Are they both wrong? Are they both right? They both have some right feeling. What's going on with it? Can you just show? And so when he shows you, it lines you up with God. Because false doctrines or things that I've had plenty of them over the years, where God has said, you know, they weren't totally bad, but they were like half bad. You know, God says it's half right, half wrong. And I'm going like, okay. So he gets me lined up where I'm getting fed because I have such a hunger, like you, Karen. I have such a hunger to be, what's right with you, God? What do you say about this? All these people say this stuff. What do you say? And he finally says, this is it, Randy. They're partially right and partially wrong. I go, okay, so this is what's right. And I get it right, and it lines me up with God. And it feeds me because you know what? What truly feeds us is what's right, not what's unjust or unright or unfair or, you know, wrong doctrine or wrong information, right information. So what's the devil? What's deception? Wrong information. Deception is wrong information. So what he says here, you know, watch this. This is really cool for you, Karen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness or getting it right, for they will be filled. When I saw the word filled, the Lord said satisfied. The other versions say satisfied. Filled means 100-fold, 100. In other words, you're going to be the information God's going to get you to understand, you know, is this true or this false? Deception is wrong information. So what's right information? It's righteousness. Wrong information brings compromise and sin, right? Because we believe wrong, we do wrong, we act wrong. We're strengthened, we're feeding off of God's righteousness or right information, and we get it right, then we are filled. In other words, 100 filled means to the top. Filled means 100 fold, not 30, not 60, but filled. Hallelujah. God, may you fill her with righteousness as she thirsts for you and hungers for your right information, God. Because when we have wrong information about God, then we misunderstand God. And when you misunderstand God, you do stupid stuff. And we don't receive everything God has for us because we believe the wrong thing. It's everything. Information is everything. Why is the Word of God the Word of God? Because it's information. And if it's been missed, the reason they had to walk so close for interpreting and saying it right is because, you know, wrong information, you know, says wrong things about God. And that's why Jesus came, was to set it all right. He said, I'm going to show you what the Father's really like. I didn't blow your mind on that. But anyway, Karen, you see that? I mean, I know you see that. Wow. He said, because you hunger and thirst for me. And he just explained it to you. I love the way God explains things to us. So amazing. All right. Got the Jackson 3. Robin Jackson, $25. Nicole Jackson, $25. And Ryan Jackson, $25. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Robin. We thank you, Lord, for any time that, Robin, there's lies and deception that have gone on, where people have believed a lie, not necessarily somebody telling a lie. That can be part of it, too. You know, some people lie to us. They lie to us for whatever reason. They lie to us. And then, you know, lies and deception always cause problems when people lie to us about things. Why can't you just tell me the truth? Just tell me. My dad used to tell me that. He would get so mad. He said, Randy, why don't you just tell me the truth? I'm going like, because I think you're not going to like me if I tell you that. I didn't say that, but that's what I thought. Well, because you're not going to like me. You're not going to love me if I tell you the truth. You know, and sometimes he called me a liar when I wasn't lying. You know, not very often, but once in a while. And so, you know, all that stuff, that misunderstanding and lies and deceptions, because sometimes people lie, give you a lie because they believe that lie. So for them, it's the truth. So when they believe that lie and they tell it like it's the truth and you know it's a lie or whatever, then it's, you know, so God wants to go in and right the wrong with information. Like, that's what confessions are about, with somebody getting right with you or whatever, is that they're giving you information about what really happened. And that's everything, right information. When you think about the information realm and understanding, a hundredfold understanding and all that, when you think about where God's trying to get us to, that means we're going to be totally honest. We're not going to be saying something that we believe is right and it's wrong. We're going to be saying what's right because God showed us what's right. And therefore, our relationships with one another are going to be pure. Why? Because we're not – some people don't mean to – they believe a lie and they tell a lie. They think it's really the truth. Well, so-and-so did this, I know, because somebody told me so, and I believe them. You can find out, you know, that they're just full of it. They were lying. They were lying. They either believe that lie themselves, they spread that lie, and then everybody's spreading lies, thinking it's the truth. And God has to come in, and Robin's what I see God doing, restoring truth and love and mercy, you know, with family members and things. Because most of the time what messes up family is what? Bad information. Wrong information. Lies. Sometimes they lie on purpose. Sometimes it's just they're spreading what they believe is the right. And I see God, like, with the fire of the Holy Ghost, man, just burning up all that misunderstanding, the things that people believe that were the truth and were the lies, whether it be me or be them or be all of us, whatever the thing is, God, I see the fire of God because of your passion to have things right. You want things to be done right, Robin. I want my family right. I want me right. I want everybody right. I want everything right. God, and because you, it's just like I gave the word to Karen, that you hunger and thirst for things being, you know, who doesn't hunger and thirst for things to be right between them and their husband, them and their wife, them and their children, them and their boss, them and their family members, them and their pastor, whoever the people are, you know, what messed that up? Wrong information? Maybe the devil lied to the pastor and he did something ugly to you that, you know, you knew wasn't true, but somebody said it and he believed it, and blah, blah, blah. You know? What happened with Joseph? Joseph was falsely accused. You know, that was false information, a lie. Well, God even used that lie. And I see, you know, God even using the lies that have gone on and have been said, and, you know, people lie to one another on purpose or by what they believe. And God using it all for his glory. When people don't have peace between one another, you know, like a husband, between a husband and a wife, between, you know, families and children and the family, you know, just like we had on the show the other night, Nikki came out and said, her and Cheryl, you know, they all loved each other, but when they got together, they realized they had some resentment with each other. And they said, hey, man, Cheryl says, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And Nikki turned around and said the same thing. And what did it do? It cleared the atmosphere. It made things right between, all of a sudden the Spirit of God started flowing. So God is making the paths that we dwell in, he's making them right. He's setting them right. Amen. So we will know as we are known. So it will be pure and the truth and love and compassion and restoration in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And everything the devil meant for evil, God's going to turn it out for good. God's going to turn it out for good. God's going to turn it out for good. I see family things. God just working in families. Like when Peter got saved, him and his, you know, when the jailer got saved, him and his whole family got, you know, it's like there's this whole family thing. You know, and thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you, Lord, for restoration, Father, of the truth and of righteousness. In Jesus' name, open that up, God, right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Open it up. And feed us righteousness, God. Feed us, God. We want to be fed righteousness. Hallelujah. Help us. Help us. Help us, God. Help us, God. Help us, God. Feed us. Feed us. We're hungry for your righteousness. We want things to be restored and right, God. Right with me. Me with everybody. Just make it right, God. Make it right. And as you've been crying out like that, you know what? God is doing it. There's something happening right now in Jesus' name. Let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because when God does it, yeah, it's right. Amen. Making all things right. Making all things right. All right. Nicole Jackson, $25. Robin, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the being able to bear fruit, Father, for the fruit that she bears, that her fruit will not fall to the ground before its season. You know, sometimes the fruit has to stay on the ground, on the tree, until it becomes, you know, ripe. If it falls off before that, or then it gets ruined, right? So I thank you, Lord, that her fruit will not fall from her trees, God, before its time. That it will be preserved, her fruit will be preserved, God. The things that, the rewards, Father, for her love for you, in Jesus' name, and that compassion that she has, I just loosen that spirit of compassion within Nicole, God, right now in the name of Jesus, that her compassion will be righteous compassion and not just some, you know, human fake stuff, but really God stuff, that it's really God compassion. That when God moves with compassion, Nicole, he helps us understand things in a way that we never understood before. Understanding is what helps open us to compassion, because we understand that, like they asked Jesus, why was this person blind? Was it the parents' fault? Was he blind from birth because the parents had sinned? Who had sinned? Who had sinned? He said, Jesus, none of it. She said, none of it. It's for the glory of God. And so I thank you, Lord, for Nicole, God, that you're going to do things for the glory of God. Whatever the thing is, it doesn't really matter. You know, you're just going to do it. You're going to work it for the glory of God, where, you know, it's going to, you know, I see you valuing, you know, the Lord, valuing people, finding people to be precious that that aren't precious, that they really aren't precious, but seeing something precious about them. Being able to look beyond their faults and see their needs. That's what compassion does. It's information that shows you that the reason they're like that is because it's for the glory of God, or maybe they were, you know, wounded and hurt, and therefore they're just acting out of what they were. Whatever. He gives understanding. When understanding moves, then compassion flows. Right? Because we understand why they are like that. And then we can look past the problem with, and we can look to their need. And I see God really open you up to that in a beautiful way. Wow, I'll take some of that. In Jesus' name. And Ryan, $25 for Ryan. Thank you, Lord, for Ryan. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I speak peace over you, Ryan. I speak true peace. I speak the kind of peace over you that you cannot be moved, that you will stand firm and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, the salvation of the Lord. Amen. So thank you, Jesus, that God, you give him the strength and the courage to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We're not moving around trying to, you know, do all this stuff. We're waiting on you. We're looking to you. We're doing what you say. Not that we do nothing, but we wait for you to give us a nudge to tell us, you know, even though what they did was wrong to us, we go and we try to set it right, you know, even though they were wrong. You know, the Bible says if you bring your gift to the altar and your brother has aught against you, then it says get up and go get right with them. And if they can't get it right, at least you tried. Then you come back and God receives your offering. Amen. So sometimes that's a difficult thing to do, for me at least, when God's willing to do that. Very difficult. Like, you know, they're going to get by with this for scot-free. Like, you know, I have to be the one going to them. Yeah, yeah. Because this the blessing. Because sometimes we have to be the bigger person. And that takes a lot of courage, and it takes the courage of God and forgiveness and love. And I just release that spirit of love, the Christ in you, the hope of glory, to be able to bless and yeah, in Jesus' name, amen. Open it up and bless them. Bless their money realm, God. Bless Robin, Nicole, and Ryan's financial realm, God. That the understanding that they have, that they walk in, bring the blessing just where it just flows. It's not even hard. We don't have to sweat to get it. It just happens. It just seek the first kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are added to you. Added. Let it be added. And it usually is added when we get that righteousness thing going, get things right, whatever it takes. Amen. Yeah. Even if we're the ones that have been wronged. Yeah. And clear the air. Get that air cleared by the grace of God. It takes a real courage to do it. Yeah. But sometimes people don't receive it. Sometimes they, but you've done your part. Amen. Man of God. Amen. Jeff and Yuki, $88.88. Thank you, Jeff and Yuki. Thank you for that. We just bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for be careful for nothing but and everything. Give thanks. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things. I see, you know, God really, Jeff is showing you how to help people to come to not be anxious. To start worrying about things and, you know, fretting and doing that to help them to, you know, believe God. And you know, as you do that for others, God's going to do it for you. When anxiousness tries to hit all of us, which it does, it always tries to hit us. Jesus, what is the word? Great drops of blood. It's a lot of pressure. And thank you, Jesus, for the wisdom you're giving Jeff, Father, on how to disarm anxiety, how to disarm, you know, the stress and remove stress by undressing the things that try to create strife and those things that we disarm them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I will disarm them. The disarmament. We disarm the enemy. We disarm it. Show him how to disarm things in people's lives. Even his own life. I disarm things in my life all the time. Because if you need to disarm that, we're like, okay, be careful how you say those things. Be careful how you do those things, because sometimes, even though you're not doing anything wrong with the people you're talking to, they identify that kind of thing with, you know, anxiety and stress and increased anxiety and stress. So he starts showing me how to say things, how to do things, and it's amazing how our mouth can create great peace and rest through getting God to help us say it the way, you know, say the same thing, but we say it in a way that it's done in peace. And done in wisdom, uncovering the enemy, and the reversing that cycle of stress and bringing in the blessed instead of the stress. Blessed. Hallelujah. In life, we have stress, man. Every day, although we have to learn how to not let the system of the world mess with us. Yeah. All right. That's our real warfare. Okay, Yuki, Lord, I thank you for Yuki tonight, God. I thank you for the excitement to see, because I see you, I don't know if it's because you're going to go to Thailand, I don't know what the deal is, but you're going to You're going to see how you've grown. You're going to see how your eyes have been opened up. You're going to see things you have never seen before. You're going to have insight to things. You're going to be like, oh, my God, wow, that's what that is. Oh, that's what that is. It's like your eyes. You're going to realize how much you've grown, how much God is, how you've been yielded to him and growing. Sometimes we have to be put in circumstances to see how much our eyes have been opened to things. And I see God really showing you how much you've grown, how much you've matured, how much you know how you see things differently because your eyes have been opened, because you've been seeking God, you know, open my eyes, open my eyes, open my eyes so that I can understand. And that spirit of understanding, God, for you, He, God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that she lets the words that she gets from God, she puts them into action. She does them. She does them. And it's doing them that keeps the enemy from being able to rob them, being able to take it, being able to mess it up, to rob it from us. I thank you, Jesus, that we take the seed, we bury it in our heart, the word from God, the information we get from God, and we meditate on it, we dwell on it. We don't let the enemy take it from us. We let it go deep within us. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're making her deep, God. You're making her deeper and deeper. You're putting the seed in deep in her soul so the enemy can't rob it and take it and it can't get lost, but it's bringing forth much fruit, much understanding. And that's one thing you're going to see when, I don't know, if in the next few weeks or maybe you go to where you guys are traveling to. I don't know whether that's going to show you the spirit of understanding that you, the growth you have in that or not. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but somehow you're going to see it. It'll be awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Carla, $20. Thank you, Carla, for that. We just bless you in Jesus' name, and God, open your eyes that you can see, you know, the things that are in, that are around you and in front of you that are blessed. Oh, Carl and Barbara. Okay. Oh, awesome. Got it. Oh, good job. Okay. Carl and Barbara. All right. Yeah. So thank you, Carl and Barbara. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. And so I thank you, Lord, for Carla, God, that the wisdom of God comes from the Word of God. But if the Word of God's not understood, you know, like, in other words, we can tell not everybody understands it, because he can have one scripture and people will believe it 10 different ways. So that just tells you that just because you read it and you think you understand, doesn't mean you got it right. So getting it right means, you know, getting it in our heart, getting it in our, you know, craving it, being hungry for it. And when it comes, even though we don't see how it's going to straighten out anything yet or work anything or help us, we plant the Word of God, trusting God by faith that it's going to do the work. And when God gives the understanding, and then that means understanding means you're going to be able to do it, be able to do things that you have. I see you doing, Carla, doing things that you've never been able to do before because the Word of God is going to be understood inside of you. And being around people who understand the Word, getting the understanding of the Word is everything, as I talked about tonight, Matthew 13. It's everything. 3,600 people is not about money. It's about understanding. When you understand something, then you can walk in it. And therefore, the devil can't even mess with you anymore because you got it. I see you getting it. I see you getting things you've never gotten before. You have a great desire for that, for truth, and walking in truth. God's really going to, you know, add that to you and multiply it to you more and more and more. All right. For Barbara, thank you, Lord, for Barbara. God, we thank you, Lord, for that, for the holiness of God. For the holiness of God to, you know, when you go into the Holy of Holies, and we talked about this week a little bit about how the priest, you know, went into the Holy of Holies. They had to be, you know, be right with God. They had to have done everything God asked them to do, or they'd be struck dead, right? So holiness is really important. Without holiness, you can't see the Lord. And so God's showing you how walking in holiness opens your eyes to see, right? And so I thank you, Lord, for that holiness, that spirit of holiness, God, that flows through Barbara, that lives in Barbara, that will activate the ability to see, to understand things. Seeing is understanding. Seeing is knowing. Knowing is seeing. Seeing is understanding. And when you see, you go, oh, I see. Oh, actually, what is that? Holiness. The holiness of God. Holiness isn't not drinking, not smoking, not chewing. Holiness is the presence of God. I mean, you can have the holiness of God come on a person who's just sinful, and all of a sudden the holiness of God comes on them. They're like going, what happened, man? I can see things. Yeah. So I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of holiness, God. Without holiness, you can't see God. So that that holiness it enables us to see God. Because when holiness comes upon you, Barbara, you know, you start seeing God the way he is. That's what holiness, you start seeing God in his holiness. You know, you start saying, yes, your holiness. Right? And then, you know, the angels see God in his holiness. The heavens, they see God in his holiness. And it's about seeing. And I thank you, Lord, for that anointing on Barbara, the holiness of anointing that not only allows her to see, but allows her to see so she can, so she's not like the blind leading the blind. She's like the seers, people to see. Seers helping people to see. Not the blind leading the blind, but the holiness that without holiness, you can't see God. There's a scripture in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The all-seeing God, the all-knowing God, lives inside of us where we know and where we see because of his holiness. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow, that's cool. Really, really cool. All right, I'm trying to make sure that I haven't missed any offerings. Okay, here's a second. All right, Shannon, $16. Let's see what he's got to say here. All right. There's my wife to see and recognize I'm the one. Seems like there's activity in the area around that. Yeah, okay. You're welcome. Thank you. All right, thank you, Jesus. Yes, that, you know, recognizing things, it's having understanding. Like, when you see something you're supposed to do or somebody you're supposed to be talking to or be a part of their life, it's like seeing, understanding things is God, you know, open up our understanding, is part of the thing that helps us to connect with the people that we're supposed to connect with. Because part of understanding is understanding the will of God, understanding who I'm supposed to spend my time with, my life with. Jesus understood who his disciples were. God showed him who his disciples were going to be. He chose them because he understood they were going to be, you know, that part of his life. So I thank you, Lord, for this woman, God, in Jesus' name, that will see and know that Shannon belongs to her and that she belongs to him and he belongs to her. Open that up, God, in Jesus' name. Open that up. Let that pour in. Let it flow in, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let it come to be in Jesus' name. And, you know, it's like I heard people say, yeah, I went to the store tonight, and I think I saw my husband for the first time. I don't even know who he is, but I saw him. And sometimes it actually happens. It's really cool. Yeah, so we thank you, Lord, for that. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. Okay, I'm checking stuff. What's going on here? <coughs> 12:30, and I think that's it for tonight. It's been awesome. Wow, what good time with the Lord tonight, man. This has been sweet. Woo! Sweet for me. I know. It's been, wow. And I just eat of that food. You guys draw it out of me and out of Jesus. It's Christ in me and Spirit of Revelation. And, man, I get to eat like a king. Seriously, it's like a feast. literally is like a feast. I'm feasting with the Lord when I'm praying for you guys. Literally, it's you hear me going on about it. I mean, that's there. You know, I'm not. You know, that's me. That's it. That's the raw it. It's really amazing, man. My gosh, it is amazing. Hallelujah. All right, I think that's it. I hope I didn't miss anybody or miss anything. Sometimes I do. Most of the time I don't. I think I did pretty good. And, yeah, God is good. God is so good. All right, what a great night. And, you know, pray for the building situation. All that's just in progress. And, you know, we could believe in God for to close it up, close, you know, get it going and seal it and all that kind of thing. All right. Y'all pray and I'll obey. Y'all pray and I'll obey. That's a good one. All right. What a great revelation tonight. All the teaching the Lord gave us. Thank you, Jesus. It's so amazing. Good he is. Wow. Just amazing. All right. So I guess I'm going to call it a night. Let somebody get something before I close out. We'll call it a night tonight. 12:30 my time. 12:34 my time. And I don't think anybody else. Seeing for you. Oh, Barbara gave 15. It's oh, Barbara, that's $15. Carla gave 20. You gave 15. Okay. I didn't even see that. Well, there's your 15. I prayed already to know I was praying for that. Awesome. Cool. I misunderstood your message. See, I misunderstood something. Isn't that amazing? Thank you. Thank you, Barbara. That's sweet. Jesus, thank you. Amen. We just thank you, Jesus and God, for everything you're doing. And what a wonderful, 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 blessed place it is in Jesus to be. Amen. Yeah. All right. Hang on a second. Hey, awesome. I think I got everybody. I don't see anything else. Yeah. All right, y'all, I'm calling it a night. Thank you so much. God bless you. We'll see you guys Monday. All right, have a good weekend. Check in on the Shun Friday night. Okay, so that's Friday night at 9 o'clock. And then Carmen on Saturdays. Check out Carmen on Saturday. We will let you know. We'll text you about that. And whoever has Saturdays, whether it's Terrence Tanisha or, you know, my friend Angela Joy, all right, or Felicia, whoever does it. All right, we'll see you guys then.